a couple requests by Harold Speed. Request prayer for a friend, Herman Holder, who suffers a swollen heart and cannot breathe normally. For the Harold Tom, request prayer for his twin sister who is pregnant and is suffering sugar due to her condition. The doctors want to admit her to hospital before time to induce labor. Amen. If you have a special request, hold it in your heart and believe him, who is all sufficient in my faith. Look unto him, the author and finisher of our faith. Our Heavenly Father, dear God, how we thank you to be in your divine presence tonight. As we gather to fellowship around your precious revealed word. And Lord, we come believing that it is by your divine leading. And Lord God, in your great economy, you have ordained that we should come and gather together at this time to look in upon these things that you have spoken unto us in this day. Lord, how I pray that your Holy Spirit be so present to inspire to our hearts. Father, we know many a time did come where we could speak so many things. But Lord, how we want the Holy Spirit to be the speaker. How we want the Holy Spirit to be the hearer. How we pray it will become real, Father. Not just, Lord, some more knowledge that we can go back out for it with that knowledge puffed up. But Lord, the love of God can be shed abroad in our hearts. For it says that love edifies. And Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit will speak so dark and personal unto us, Lord. For Lord, this is the age of personal life. This is the hour when you're speaking to individuals, Father. Lord, when individuals, Lord God, is meeting your divine approval and you're taking them aside and you're saying, this is my beloved son, this is my beloved daughter in whom I'm pleased to dwell in. And Father, believe that we have such a time, Lord. Lord, I pray tonight that you would take these words that you put in my heart. And Lord, you would speak it, Lord, in such a plain way, Father. The Lord God, it can inspire our hearts. Lord, to shake ourselves, Lord. To rise and shine, as the song said tonight. Lord, we are born to rise and shine. For the light is come and the glory of the Lord is risen upon us. And it shall be seen upon us. Almighty God, I pray tonight. The Lord, during the course of this service, the Holy Spirit, Lord, will lift us into such a realm of faith that these requests, Father, that Lord, we have read on behalf of these needy ones. Lord God, get explosives of faith in the hearts of those who are believing to receive these things, that the faith and we can grasp it. For we know everything, every divine blessing is made available. And oh God, how faith in the hearts of the people should bring into the power produce the promise. Father, let us see that tonight. Have your way amongst us now. Get on and glory in these services. Lord, you know I'm needy, Father. I'm depending upon you. Lord, just inspire these things in my heart. I can speak it the way it was given me today, Lord. And Lord God, that it can just fall in such a place in the hearts and lives of your people that they will wake up, Lord. They will recognize the hour. They will see the time. Lord, we will stop playing the fool and Lord, making jokes and just going along, taking things lightly. But Lord, it will make us buckle the armor tighter. It will make us stand fast in the liberty which you have made us free. It will make us press the battle. Oh God, we see the evil in every hand and demon powers moving around. Oh God, people falling away from the faith, going to swift destruction. But oh God, let us see the bread of Christ. Let the church be the church. Hallelujah, that's what we want, Father. That expresses what's in our hearts. Let the bride be what the word said she would be, a super race, a super church. Grant it, Father. We ask you tonight, in the precious name of Jesus Christ, bless the strangers amongst us, not forgetting them, Father. And Lord, I pray that what you would speak would be so simple, that even them who come in, Lord, Lord God, it would be real unto them. That your Holy Spirit will reach out. And if they are not saved, they are not baptized, Lord, in water, and baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. Lord God, by a believing heart, by faith being released unto them tonight, it can lead them to that place, Father. Oh, that would make us happy, Lord. See some soul. Lord God, in this late hour, it's almost past healing time. Lord, rise up and make a real clean-cut decision like Ruth. Your people is my people. Your God is my God. Where you die, will I die. Where you bury, I will bury. Oh, God, may that happen. If there is one Lord that is seeking eternal life here tonight, may they find it. Bless us now again, we pray, and we ask it for your honor and glory in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Return our Bibles to 1 Kings. Revelation chapter 6 and Revelation 19. I want to go right back in the book of Revelation again. Just anticipating the Holy Spirit to give us a great outpouring of His Spirit tonight. Fill your heart and draw it closer to Him. That the veil, that holy veil could drop around you, shut the world out on the outside, shut you in His presence. How many would desire that tonight? Amen. The prophet Adam and Eve, back in the eternal church age before there was a fall, they were veiled with a holy veil. Amen. They were naked and didn't even know it. But today the people have a sin veil upon them, that they're naked and they don't know it also. But it's a veil of sin. Amen. But may we receive that veil of the Holy Spirit. May your eyes be anointed with the eyes out of His word. We have a couple notes of praise, but Anthony John would like to thank the Lord for miraculously removing all trace of sugar from his wife after he had prayer for her last week. He said the doctors were puzzled over the findings yesterday. She returned to be re-examined and they couldn't find anything. Amen. Also, Brother Raymond Coffey would like to thank the Lord for speedy recovery from chicken pox. Also, for drawing him into a closer fellowship with God. Amen. Brother Liam with us here tonight, so maybe he was here over the week, I didn't know, but glad to see him. All these strangers, we welcome you in the precious name of Jesus Christ. I'm glad we're back too. We had a tremendous time. Maybe I could tell you, but some of the things I want to speak, some of the things God have made plain, and as we have these meetings during the course of the week, I just trust that we all come out plain, not just to speak it, but the Holy Spirit can make it plain in your heart. And I tell you, He's walking some places we never walked before. But we always like to follow Him. We have more places that can lead us into green pastures beside the still waters. You know, the prophet of God brought us a message. And sometimes we think we see it, and it's so real to us. And we say, what more could God reveal? And then God just pulled the veil back, and it's much more. Well, I tell you, this few days is going to be one of those times. I just want you to pray for me that the Holy Spirit could just have me so yielded to Him that I could give it out. Because it's some real tremendous things that I even had a deeper with my mind, and seeing God just reveal it and make it plain, it just confirms His presence amongst us. I want to begin reading in 1 Kings 20, chapter 21, verse 1. Kind of lengthy tonight. The message might be kind of lengthy, but I want to make sure I get out this part first so we can just break through during the rest of the week. And I trust you listen really attentively tonight and try to grasp every word. Amen. Listen attentively and try to grasp everything. Mark the scriptures when you go and get study. You're going to hear many strange things. It might be different to the way you see it. It was different to the way I see it too. Don't give me no puzzled look on your face. Don't give me no kind of skeptical looks when you hear something you never hear before. Just write it down, and when you go home, check it back in the message. I'm going to try to refer you to many places as I could in the message that it would be able to help you. Now, you may already know all these things already. I may say it straight because what I have in my mind, I don't know. So don't kind of get no leery kind of big spiritual kind of way and get lock yourself and miss everything that's going for. Amen. It's just to edify you and encourage you in the message that you love and believe. And if you are a student of the word, which I believe you are a student of the word, you don't have the message on a shelf, your tape's not full of cobwebs, but you listen to it because that is the food you're feeding upon, then may these things just serve to crystallize your understanding into the things you already believe. So I want to begin reading here tonight, verse 1, Revelation 1 Kings 21. And it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard which was in Jezreel, close to the palace of Ahab king of Samaria. And Ahab spoke to Naboth, saying, give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house, and I will give it. I'll give thee for it a better vineyard than it. Or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. And Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbid me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. You wanted another man's inheritance. That's a bad spirit. And Ahab came into his house, sung, and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he had said, I will not give the inheritance of my fathers. And he lay down upon his bed and turned away his face and would eat no meat. But Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said unto him, why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no meat? And he said unto her, because I spoke unto Naboth the Jezreelite, and said unto him, give me thy vineyard for money, or else if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give thee my vineyard. And Jezebel his wife said unto him, dost thou now govern the kingdom of Israel? You're the boss in this place, and you're crying because you can't get a man vineyard, and you're the king in this place? You see what that woman was thinking? She's thinking about nobody inheritance and covenant that God made. You want it? You can have it. Amen. She's going to devise a plot to get it. So she wrote, arise and eat meat and let thy heart be merry. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. So she wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed them with a seal, sent the letters unto the elders and to the nobles who were in the city dwelling with Naboth. You see who she sent it to? The poor peasants, the elders and the nobles. Now all these are typed here, so just kind of pick it up quickly. So she wrote in the letters saying, proclaim a fast and set Naboth on the high among the people, and set two worthless fellows before him. Two children of Belial, two worthless fellows. Two liquidators, two hired criminals or something. Amen. So, to bear witness against him, saying, thou didst blaspheme God and the king. And then carry him out and stone him that he may die. And the men of the city, even the elders and the nobles who were inhabitants in the city, did as Jezebel had sent unto them, and as it was written in the letters which she had sent unto him. They proclaimed a fast, and they set Naboth on high among the people. And there came in two men, worthless fellows, and sat before him. And the worthless men witnessed against him, even against Naboth, in the presence of the people. They framed him and set up a case against him, saying, Naboth did blaspheme God and the king. Then they carried him forth out of the city and stoned him with stones so that he died. Then they sent to Jezebel, saying, Naboth is stoned and is dead. And it came to pass when Jezebel heard that Naboth was stoned and was dead, that Jezebel said to him, arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite, which he refused to give thee for money, for Naboth is not alive but dead. And it came to pass when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, that Ahab rose up to go down to the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite to take possession of it. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite. So God's watching everything. Why is he planning all those things? What you gonna do? How you gonna set up a plan? She's gonna frame this one, she's gonna get possession of this, she's gonna acquire all the property, she's gonna acquire the wealth, she's gonna be controlling everything. God see what's in her heart. And God have a prophet. Amen. And God inspired the work into the prophet. Arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, who is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, where he is gone down to possess it. I could imagine Elijah walking down there with the word of God, amen, fearless and bold. And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, hast thou killed and also taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, in the place where the dogs lick the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine. And Ahab said to Elijah, hast thou found me, O mine enemy? And he answered, I have found thee, because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. Behold, I will bring evil upon thee, and will take away thy posterity, and will cut off from Ahab every male, and him who is shut up and left in Israel, and will make thine house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah, for the provocation with which thou hast provoked me to anger and made Israel to sin. And that wasn't for Ahab alone, he had to for Jezebel too.
Amen.
The prophet prophesied to Ahab and the prophesied to Jezebel.
Amen. And we have this American Jezebel in the Roman Catholic Church. And of Jezebel also spoke the Lord, saying, the dove shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. Him that dieth of Ahab in the city, the dog shall eat. And him that dieth in the field, shall the fowls of the air eat. But there was none like unto Ahab, who did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, when Jezebel, his wife, stood up. Amen. Quickly, I want to get a little part of 2 Kings, 1 Kings 22. 1 Kings 22, verse 29 to 38. I want to just get a part of the prophecy fulfilled. In between there, you know what happened? In the days after Elijah went, Micaiah rose up and prophesied what Elijah had already said concerning Jezebel and Ahab. You know, it's in that time the false anointed ones, lying spirits, went into the mouth of those prophets to deceive those men and take them into the battle to be destroyed. Amen. Now I hope you're picking up there already, because when you were there in the seven trumpets, Revelation 16, the kings of the earth being gathered together to go to Armageddon, being deceived by all these who work at miracles, these false prophets who out their mouth come a lying spirit, a clear and clean spirit like frogs. Now this is a type here for that. Amen. So when you pick up this here, just you pick up the type, you can actually see how the prophecy for the last day, what is the prophecy in a symbol form? This is the type. Amen. That same prophecy in the symbol form is speaking of. You understand what I'm saying? So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went up to Ramoth Gilead. The king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself and enter into the battle. This is years after, you know, after the prophecy was given, years after. And the king of Israel disguised himself and went into the battle. But the king of Syria commanded his 30 and 2 captains who had ruled over his chariot, saying, fight neither small nor great, save only the king of Israel. And it came to pass when the captain of the chariot saw Jehoshaphat, that they said, surely it is the king of Israel. And they turned aside to fight against him, and Jehoshaphat cried out. And it came to pass, when the captains of the chariots perceived that it was not the king of Israel, that they turned back from pursuing him. And a certain man drew a bow at a venture. Look how God is going to bring the passes forward, you know. One day in the battle, the Holy Spirit is going to direct that arrow like he directed the stone that slew Goliath. Amen. Because the word of a prophet is going to come to pass. Amen. And smote the king of Israel between the joints of his armor. Wherefore he said unto the driver of his chariot, turn thine hand and carry me out of the host, for I am wounded. And the battle increased that day, and the king was held up in his chariot against the Syrians, and died at evening. So when did Ahab die? At evening. Amen. When did Elijah prophecy concerning Ahab took place? In the evening time. Amen. And the blood ran up the womb into the inside of the chariot. And there was a proclamation throughout the host about the going down of the sun. About the going down of the sun in the evening time, in the sunset. Saying every man to his city and every man to his own country. So the king died and was brought to Samaria, and they buried the king in Samaria. And the one washed the chariot. No longer the accuracy of the Holy Spirit. Now I wanted to get something. Today I have a lot of interpretations in this message. All kind of funny ideas. But as I tell you, the message was already given by the prophet. Amen. And when God showed light upon the prophet said, you see that God is still watching over those words. Amen. Now I want you to observe something. It was God who knew what Jezebel was doing in her heart. Elijah didn't know. Amen. But God was revealing to Elijah. And God was sending to Elijah and said, tell Ahab such and such. Amen. Now even though the fowls and the birds eat him, even the part with the dog licking the blood to show his God. Even the bring back the chariot to wash the blood of the chariot. The dog come up to lick the very blood, because it was God watching over his word that he spoke to the prophet, even though the prophet wasn't around. May God have my Micaiahs, who was forget what 400 false prophets say. forget what Jericho with his two big horns say. And only say what Elijah already said. Amen. Elijah, thus saith the Lord. God said, go and say, thus saith the Lord. Amen. So the king died on his bed, but both the Samaria and they buried the king in Samaria, and one washed the child in the pool of Samaria, and the dogs licked up his blood, and they washed his armor according unto the word of the Lord which he spoke. According to the word of the Lord which he spoke. Amen. Revelation chapter 6. Jezebel in the spiritual form now. I'm saying these things in between here so you could follow me, because I don't know if you're going to get to everything but in one night, but I just wanted to pick up these things and then you could study afterwards for yourself. Revelation chapter 6, verse 7 and 8. Now in the seal, now one is that was your word in a written form, this is your word in a symbol form. This is a prophecy in symbol, that's a prophecy foreshadowing a type. Amen. All speaking about the same day. Which day? The evening time. Ahab, Elijah, Jezebel. You see the time we're talking about? False anointed ones. All these things. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked and behold a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was Death. And hell followed him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword. Get that killing with the sword. And with hunger, get that hunger. And with death, get that death. And with the beast of the earth. Amen. Revelation 19. Now we come down to a prophecy again. This is the time now when the thing is actually taking place. When Jezebel will really be eaten by the fowls and the beasts and these things. Revelation 19:11. And I saw heaven open, and behold a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he that judged and make war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written which no man knew, but himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies that were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth went a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. Because he who lived by the sword is not going to die by the sword, you see. He who killed 68 million with that sword is going to get killed with another sword. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vest and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice into the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather together yourselves unto what? Not lunch or breakfast. Supper. When did the dogs eat Ahab? In the evening. When is this going to happen here again? In the evening. Come to the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and of them that sit on them and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast. Now Moses and Elijah is done gone. This is one of the main things I want to say. If you get anything, Moses and Elijah is not around when all this is happening. The people that is fighting this war is you and me. Amen. And the armies of the living God. Amen. The people who slain these people. Prison, yeah. Is you and me. Amen. Now you see, many a time we go up in the rapture, we come back in the millennium, and we give the Jews 3.5 years. And after 3.5 years, you go in the millennium. Now, it's a whole big part of the Bible right inside of there. Amen. They even spoke that the prophet and all these men will be there. And all of us will be there. Amen. Amen. so that you may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast. We know who the beast is. It was Antichrist, false prophet, and then beast. Beast of the devil incarnate. And the kings of the earth. We know who they was. All these dictators who give, receive power as kings, but was not crowned kings. Amen? And their armies. Military power. Because church is and state is together already. Yeah. Gathered together to make war against, not Moses and Elijah. These people feel they're so powerful because they already killed Moses and Elijah.
Amen.
And they celebrate a victory when they kill them.
Amen.
Moses and Elijah plagued them but didn't overcome them.
Amen.
The Bible says they overcome Moses and Elijah. But they will not overcome this army. And the armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet. And we have him here already, you know. We have the false prophet here already, you know. Because when the Antichrist was incarnate in a man, he became a false prophet. Now, we have had a succession of false prophets, which are called popes. And right now, millions is worshiping right here in Canada. And millions around the world on television. Right now. And you gather here to worship the Lamb. When he's right there preaching back on the seven trumpets, look what's happening. Look where we come now. I know he's God in my heart. I know he's God having these services. I know God revealing these things. Because those things are happening in the religious realm. In the natural. But among the bride, there's something happening also. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet, and wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast. And many received it now, but it shall be manifested later on. And them that worship his image, and they are all in the world congregation, millions right now.
Amen.
These boats were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant was slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all their fowls were filled with their flesh. Bow our heads and close our eyes. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, you speak to us now. Lead us and guide us step by step. Help me to get ahead of myself. May the dove lead the eagles, Lord. May the spirit of truth breathe upon us, breathe upon the word. May the entrance of thy word bring light to illuminate our souls, to give us understanding. Lord, we even just now speaking of this great deception and the worship of the false prophet back in Canada and around the world. By satellite and television, God, the head have come to that body, and we believe that our head, the Lord Jesus Christ, in the form of that logos, is here amongst us. Oh God, brood upon us, Lord. Make that word a living word in our hearts. We ask it tonight. For your honor, for your glory, the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we want to welcome everyone again in the house of the Lord. The service tonight. May God richly bless you and give you a heart's desire. I want to go straight in the message and maybe kind of see how the Holy Spirit will open up tonight and later on in the week when it seems appropriate, or even tonight, however the inspiration moves, just tell you everything that the Holy Spirit is giving us to speak to you at this time. Page 17, recognizing the end of the message. Just a little openness here. Baram says, what time is it, brother? What time is it, minister? Do you see the time and the day of the day and the sign you are living under? Can you understand it? Do you see it? Everywhere now, there's no revival. Everybody's complaining. Ministers crying. I was reading one of the outstanding papers that come here to the church. A very fine paper. And I know the editor and I know the people. And they are good, godly people. Very fine. Brother and Sister Moore of the Herald of His Coming. One of the finest papers in the field. Herald of His Coming. And they hardly will print anything unless it's about fast and pray, fast and pray. He sung the trumpet. How many reads it? You know, you see it all the time. Fast, pray, fast, pray. That's all you hear. Fast and pray. We are going to have a great breaking of the day. There's a great thing going to happen. All of you, pray, pray, pray. We are not too late yet. That was printed in the paper. Why do they do that, he says? Why do they do that? They want a great awakening. They are crying, believing that there will be awakening. They are good people. Why is it? What have they done? They have not recognized the awakening of the bride. Amen. Many people, they fail to look for things the way God promised He would send it.
Amen.
And they fail to grasp the things that God said He will identify His manifested promises by. And most of the time they are caught up when it's too late. Amen?
Amen.
So notice here He said it's good people, nice people, but they fail to recognize the awakening of the bride. See? By being a Christian, they feel the pull of the hour. But they have to recognize what has been done. Now, there was 9 years of a healing ministry to attract the people's attention from 1946. There's a ministry of the word begin to come forth, rebuking the organization, calling them back to the word. Then all man forsook the prophet. 1962, president said to my ministry, all man has forsaken me. They thought he was washed up, but he was getting ready for the crowning. His cry was, may I take the clothes of the word and just the bride. Here come 7 angels from eternity after a vision was seen and identified in the scripture, Revelation 10, that light never shined upon, that no man never preached on before. Was now being preached to the church asking, is this the sign of the end? The message I looked for all these years under the healing, is this the time when it's going to come forth? The message came forth and God vindicated. The camera photographed the picture that was spoken of months before, just the prophet seeing the vision alone. The camera couldn't catch the vision, but when the vision was manifested, the camera caught it. After the vision was put on tape and sent around the world. Amen. And the prophet coming back and identifying what was prophecy is history. And they would believe it. Amen. Like the Jews, they held onto the natural lamb. This generation, after the Son of Man has been revealed, they held onto the natural substitute lamb. Everybody with me?
Yeah.
And they rejected the real atonement that our prophet Elijah introduced.
Yeah.
Amen. And God's name was in that lamb.
Yeah.
Amen. And here it was, when it was manifested and vindicated and then rejected, they went along still calling for revival. They went along still looking for a manifestation, an awakening. He said they have not recognized that was the awakening. They heard him talk about the great ministry to come for years. How to be greater than the first two. And the first two had 7 truckload of wheelchairs. 30,000 get saved in one meeting. So the greater thing for them was maybe 500,000 get saved in a meeting and 80 truckload of wheelchairs. That's how the carnal mind taught. But the greater one will be, the one will be taken away. Hallelujah. The other will remain. It will be so secret. He'll come like a thief in the night. He'll begin to reveal to the bride that all the powers of deception in this deceiving age will never be able to deceive her. By a revelation of the word, she'll be fully restored. She'll withstand every evil spirit and overcome them also. And prove that she's not like Eve. Amen. So those things must happen. But the church will never knew it. When the prophet died, the historians thought he died a disillusioned man. Sir William Branham spoke about a great ministry to come, the third pole. And he kept looking for some great tent. And all the call lines long. I can see them.
Amen.
Amen. How are they going to come, he says. He said, and it didn't happen. So he kind of maybe got disillusioned in the end. But they never saw how scriptural the ministry of the prophet was.
Amen.
They never saw his life was predestinated to match the types that God foreshadowed for this day.
Amen.
That he could come and go back to the Bible and show us the terminology John preaching. Show us the kind of man Elijah was. Show us Ahab and Jezebel in their time. Show us the false prophets. Amen. The lion spirit in the mouth. All these things. Only because he recognized who he was. Even though, while he was claiming and identifying he was Elijah, there was 50 others, or maybe more, Elijahs in the land. Everybody was claiming to be Elijah. And it never shook him, because he knew the word was going to measure them up. He knew the elect was trained to see the scriptures. He knew the elect will watch nothing else but the scriptures. They don't care how nice a man could talk. They don't care how powerful a man can preach. They are watching the scriptures. They only believe thus saith the Lord. Why? Because they are part of the word. The very word is their mate. Hallelujah. They are an invisible union. And what God joined, let no man put asunder. Hallelujah. Amen. They are part of the word, and God bring them one. Hallelujah. She only know the word. Because her soul, which she believes with, because you can't believe the body or the spirit. And that soul is what comes predestinated from God. That soul is part of the word. Amen. And here it was. The ministry had come forth, and the people missed it. And the prophet preaching God being misunderstood, unrecognized presence of God. Who do you say this is? Amen. Identifying a greater than Solomon is here. There's a man here who can turn on the light. Amen. And yet they wasn't catching what was happening.
Amen.
They was failing to see what was taking place. So he says, by being a Christian, they feel the pull of the hour. But they never had the revelation of the word. I'm laying this here. A lot of people feeling things. They're feeling the pull. They say, brother, the old lady, yes? Trying to work up themselves in something. They're good people. They feel the pull of the hour. But that's not a revelation. To say something is going on is not a revelation. What is this something? What is the evidence that something is going on? What is the identification of this something that is going on?
Hallelujah.
How will you know this something when it's been manifested?
Yeah,
what is the scriptural evidence and the Bible proof of that something? That's why a lot of people get carried away with all kind of foolishness. They can go into all the clans and pick up all kind of funny spirits and believe all kind of things.
Amen.
But when it comes to the thinking man filter, it's only those of a holy man taste could take it. Amen. Hallelujah. So they feel the pull of the hour, but they haven't recognized what's been done. And how many people like that have 90% in the message today? Feeling the pull of the hour, but not recognizing what has been done. You know why? He said, except you have the token to examine it, it will pass right through you. Recognizing it, take the token, his very own life, which makes you part of what is going on. Hallelujah! Which gives you the identification personally in your own life. Which makes you come forth with the evidence and the testimony that the witness is in you, giving witness to his word. Not church membership, not group association, not man worshippers. Sons and daughters of God, diamonds cut to reflect the rainbow, marching on what Christian soul is proudly displaying the blood on the chest in this hour. Amen. Royal seed, real church, real bride in the last days. Come on, shake the viper in the fire.
I'm going to bind this serpent in a knot. I'm going to tell the house of hell, give way. Why? Because you've crossed Jordan. Then hanging along with the world, they crossed Jordan for a huge portion of heaven. They knew that there were two thirds. They knew that the prophet had the Joshua Commission. They knew he was waiting for inspiration. They knew when he just says this is the time, the inspiration was coming to roll back the Jordan to go over in the promise. They knew that was the third pole to bring a rapture in fact. They knew when he came back and told them the Ephesians is here again. We are in the Ephesians. There is a holy walk. Hallelujah. Worthy of the vocation unto which you are called. Put on the whole armor of God to stand against the wiles of the devil. Cry them who say they are apostles and find them liars. When they cannot tell what happened from 1965 to 1984, you find them liars. Hallelujah! When they have no revelation of Revelation 10 to 11 and the masterpiece being unveiled and don't have the perfect matching piece, you find them liars. Amen. But his bride knows where she's standing. Because she's the word. She's not playing games. She's not ambitious for religious works. She don't want no religious reputation. She know God's a consuming fire. She know but a one word caused every chaos on the earth. She know nothing less but the full word going to take her back to Eden. And when she see the Adam being revealed in the evening time, and she see the seventh day being broken again, and she's going to feel the call to go back to Eden, then she will not get us cursed defiled! Hallelujah! She will not give heed to seducing spirit! She will take the veil and veil herself! And go back to Eden! Hallelujah! It's past playing church. It's past having a nice time. It's past bubble dance. It's past being a wandering star. Amen. May this week the Holy Spirit show you from His word how much the devil is in control of people. Whoever form a godliness and think they're worshiping God. But ignorantly worshiping the devil because that's the way the devil has done it in this day. Make them think they're spiritual when they're not even spiritual. Amen. And people hear the word after woe unto you. Amen. See, love is a pleasure more than love is a God. And God help me and give me grace to say some things that is hard to say in a mixed congregation like this. With young people and young children. It's showing the last day there'll be seducing spirits. Amen. But unto you what the natural woman and what is happening here, you guys exactly going to church. Amen. You know why there are plague of hail in this day? Because God's gonna stone adulterers. Because this is the age of adultery. Amen. Read the seventh vial. And the first one to commit adultery is Eve. The church. Amen. And brother, the prophet and marriage and divorce. Invisible union. He said, don't you ever do it again. You were not speaking to individual people who were naturally married. The church who was refusing his seed, the seed of the Son of Man, to bring forth sons in his own image. God has put a pleasure. They didn't want to bring forth Acts 2:38 screaming babies. They wanted a religious program. They didn't want the responsibility of the word, the sacred book, the prayer, and the word unto Christ. So when God looked in Laodicea and he saw the filth and immorality, he said, who could find a virtuous woman in Laodicea? Because Miss Methodist, she's naked and don't even know it. I play those two tapes here to put you in the challenge. That's to tune you in for what is coming. Spiritual food in due season to enter into the secret place. There's a place you have to enter into, not to be caught in the wrath of God. And you can't join the going there. The only way you can enter there by the call of God is for knowledge of God and the word of God. And I know that it's not, that's a prophecy of insanity in the last days. When the Holy Spirit begins to shine light on that scripture to the prophet, he begins to open up to him, there laid the prophecy for the insanity of the world. Amen. How can a man be naked and don't know it? How can I put me blind and don't know it? They've lost their spiritual faculties. Demon powers have taken them over. See, religious to the core. Man, I didn't feel the pull of the hour with all the knowledge they have. But they have not recognized. They cannot recognize what is happening. Because all they see through the group glass and the church glasses, our group and this group and that man, our minister, all kind of foolishness. And our prophet brought the message and said, you the individual, anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. And the light have come to shine upon the world to reveal something. A secret that God don't want the whole world to know. The individuals to steal away with them. Individual! Not a bunch of flirters, he said. His bride is drawing close up next to himself and whispering those secret things in her heart. And she laying that word day and night. That's her, the revealed word, her mate. That's the only one she knows. Amen! May God challenge your faith tonight. So they haven't recognized what's been done. That's what's supposed to make them, that's what makes them feel that way. They know something is supposed to happen. But see, they're looking for it way off in the future to come when it's already happening right by you. So here was all these people. They knew something was going to happen. They were looking for it to come. And it was going right by them. And they didn't even know. Now you've been around here religion in the local church here. We've been preaching there. As I always tell you, but a brand new message was to reveal the book of Revelation. Because that's the book that was sealed with seven seals. It's the whole Bible and it's correctly placed in the canon of scripture at the end of the Bible. Because in Revelation, he's revealing him true self. His great threefold mystery of who he is and his future works in the seven church ages. And it starts from eternity with the battle up in heaven and go right back down to the new city. So it encompasses everything. That in all the other books is all gathered up. All the books that show how he's... All the different kings of Judah shown in type and in mystery. That great king in Revelation is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When you show a great prophet, he is prophet. When you show a great priest, all through the Old Testament types, it's gathered in Revelation. He's prophet, priest, and king, eagle, lamb, and lion, son of man, son of God, son of David. The whole Revelation is revealing him and his works. And we found when he came, he started off with the first three chapters, the Holy Spirit giving him the three chapters of Revelation 1960 December. When John Kennedy was elected president in America, being the first Catholic president. Now follow me very close. And when that was happening, the Holy Spirit, knowing he was the messenger, and the book of Revelation, which could not be understood nor be read with understanding for seven church ages, God is now beginning to show light upon it. Because the reason, it was only symbols to them, but in this generation, the history that those symbols symbolized was actually taking place. So now, the prophecy that was in symbol form could be identified. And then, when it's been identified, then understanding is coming into the church. Because they recognize what these mysterious things mean. They could look there and see it and understand it and relate to it. Because it's happening in their generation. Amen. So 1960, he started there. The Holy Spirit told him the church must have this prophetic message. Because it's a message and prophecy. And it's prophecy in symbol form, which you take many a times, and show you how it takes the gift of wisdom of the Holy Spirit to reveal those things. It's not like you're saying earthquakes in diverse places and men hearts filled with fear. That is just plain prophecy. But when God says a woman and a scarlet colored beast, that is a prophecy, but you have to get a revelation of what it symbolizes before you can understand what has been prophesied. Amen. Amen. You see? So then God did it that way for one purpose, to hide it from the wise and prudent. And we found when the prophet began to go in there, God began to shine light on the first two chapters, which were the revelation of Jesus Christ and the seven church ages. And he said, if the church ages had to be given first, and if you receive by revelation,
Then light upon light will follow until the whole of the revelation open wide before you one day night. Amen. Then he started off there on the seven church ages. That was finished. He took Daniel 70 weeks because he saw the church went up in the fourth chapter. Now the church don't appear until the 19th chapter. Now right there, a lot of people get a lot of carnal understandings come and say, but look at church in Revelation 10, look at church in Revelation 18, look at church there. And so how come the prophet could be saying that like he contradicted himself? No. When those things are injected here, it's only injected here to give an understanding of the things that God is talking about so you can know the things as regards to time and season of fulfillment. Mr. Wealth again for some of you. Now you see, once you know the church and the bride, who she is, we're receiving the revelation first. The first few chapters. And in that first few chapters, we see the whole history of the church. From the day of Pentecost, how it come right on to this day. And we see, we wait in the rapture, because that message, when that has been revealed, is actually gathering us together for the rapture. Alright. Then when the church, then we know exactly where we are and all the signs of the time is being manifested to show the coming of Christ. The things prophesied of his second coming. So when the church goes up there, sometimes God will give back flashes of the church between the 4th and the 19th chapter. So the thing that he's speaking in between the air, you'd realize all those things that are going to happen after the church going is already happening. Amen. It will just be completely fulfilled within the last half of the 70th week. Amen. The things pertaining to the Jews. So we were there in Canada, we were having a fellowship, a couple of minutes myself, and one of the brothers was saying that he taught that. He said, I now get a revelation that Brother Branham is actually get more light after the seals open on that particular thought there. That he said the church got up in the fourth chapter and got up here until the 19th chapter, but actually what is really happening there was God was, you know, showing him it's not really so because the church was in Revelation 10 and all these things. So I said, no, that is not so. Because what you take for instance, Revelation 7 is encompassing a whole great volume of the word. Revelation 7, the first verse speaks of the First World War. The second verse speaks of after the rapture. It's taking a whole scope of time. You take Revelation 12, it started talking about a woman in heaven, these things, the battle in heaven with Michael and the great red dragon, and it brings that same great red dragon in the last half of the 70th week. Coming to spurt water out of his mouth to make war with the foolish virgins. Amen. So in chapter 12 alone is from eternity to Daniel's 70th week. Amen. In one chapter. Now if you read it and you ain't seen all that projected in there, you'll get confused. You take Revelation 17 and speak about the great harlot. It started where John even wondered the woman. And then the Bible begins to talk about those kings. Five done come and gone already. Which is quite back in 1895. Amen. Five was already fallen. Amen. And yet, the eighth one was there and one was coming in a short space. And the eighth, who is the seventh, the beast that was and is not but yet is. When pagan Rome became pagan Rome, that was being prophesied here right down until the covenant is made with the 10 kings and the destruction of the harlot when they burn out fire in the flesh. Amen. So that one chapter is taken in 2,000 years. But we don't understand certain parts being fulfilled. What God wanted to show that these things was here. It's not things that spring up yesterday, but it's things that's here all these years.
So when truth is being revealed, you look out in the world and say, I don't believe Jesus coming just, and I believe the ministers are going to frighten people, and I don't believe that shows are going to happen yet, and you have your own different private understanding. You look in the Bible and God show you this is no understanding spring up yesterday.
Amen.
This is something that the Bible shows this great red dragon who is in heaven. Amen. Before Adam was created.
Amen.
It's a dragon carrying that woman.
Amen.
Before Rome was even populated, it takes you to sit on a city of 7 hills.
Amen.
Geographically, only one place in the whole world to fit that in where the blood of the martyrs and the saints of Jesus Christ. So when the message comes in the last days to reveal and unveil these things, then you realize what is happening. You are privileged to be living in the last days when the thing has been completed and it's all been wound up right before your eyes. and you're in the generation that will see the wrath of God. You wasn't in the generation that see a dying lamb, but in the generation that see a Jesus, the eyes of a flame of fire. And his feet like fine brass. Not saying, Father, forgive them, but saying, poke your fire and kill them.
Amen, brother.
Yes! See? It's not, this ain't playing around. You think God vindicated his message to have people playing the fool? For people to come in with the same old denominational hangover and try to pull God inside and pervert the Spirit of God? After the Spirit of God show he cannot walk in that door, no matter how nice those people were? God should have to move with one man, a prophet, and move with one man. My people in there will come out. God had that confidence. So, who have the audacity? Who is presumptuous and bold-faced enough to try to pull God back in that thing when God rejected the whole generation full of it? Blot them out of the book too, to begin with too. And said, thus said the Lord, they shall never rise again. They're going to start a prayer from that time until that kingdom come. They'll never rise again. All right, Brother Bram, a lot of people in this age not understanding what was happening. Go around talking about the love of God, the love of God, the love of God. And that was what the devil was using to say we are all one. Amen. And what Balaam used to corrupt the children of God.
Amen.
That was never forgiven. They believe a false teacher after a true prophet was vindicated and thus said the Lord. After the pillar of fire came for vindication. Visibly it was photographed. This makes the school children to sit hanging there. After they come make tea blast and rip the monkey apart. Judgment strike in the West Coast. But a lot of people, they didn't get caught up in their own human spirit. And thinking, well, it's a nice, sweet Jesus, and right, dispensation is changing.
Amen.
It's the supreme judge. Amen. Not the dying Messiah.
No, brother.
His God is among the pups. And when people think, well, we're going through a trial, they feel there's a spiritual death striking them. Church is going cold and ministers scrambling for a message. And they can feel and famine hit the church and gross darkness and all kind of immorality loose and demon powers taking the people out in the world to a swift destruction.
Amen.
And they fail to realize what was spoken 20 years by a prophet screaming out on the tape, talking about the voice of many others foaming out.
Amen.
In judgment. Amen. Tell them when you see sin run from it like you run from a car 90 miles per hour.
Amen.
If you come to lick it down, you playing around with it. Amen! They failed to realize that was God speaking to a prophet. That wasn't somebody coming to tickle people's heads. That wasn't somebody coming to have a nice time. That wasn't somebody coming to be popular with people. He became popular because he's telling the message and preaching where God said and condemned sin. And preach judgment and fire and brimstone. He made heaven high and he made hell hot. And he kept it gun barrel straight.
Yes.
I want to tell the church they want a good washout, we don't drive an iron by the Holy Ghost. They say put a close line religion. He told them they don't know ABC. How could you know algebra? Amen. And it's late always, it's almost past filling time when the door of the ark being swing shut. One day God will let us know it's finished.
Amen.
Then what are you going to do? What good will your emotion do that time? When the word has been preached with conviction to show your sin, show your filthiness, make you walk away from it, you stiff up your neck. And when you hear the doors close, you jump in and God begin to pack iron and to figure out, you want to run and cry for a place of repentance? God will tell you when the word is showing you sin, you shall repent there. You shall be zealous and repent there. Thousand times I do it. Not now. He said the Roman centurion said the Roman soldier said, truly thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He gave a testimony too late. He went to hell with that testimony. Amen. You should have given it when Peter said thou art the Christ in that season. Right testimony, but wrong season. Amen. Esau have a lot of tears, but no place to repentance. What good would a fountain of tears and no place to repent? Amen. No blood to put your sins in. Yeah. He said, Jacob wanted the birthright, he didn't care how we get it. If he had to go down by the altar and beg and cry and a snotty nose. Yeah. Amen. Dribbling the air, begging God for it. He don't care what he has to do to get it. He will do it to get it. Amen. I am giving my text. My title. The coming judgment of Ahab and Jezebel. My inspiration to point out to the last seven vials. I believe the Holy Spirit is opening it up. Many people feel the pull of the hour. They come in a service like this and they know something is happening. They walk in the door and see people praying on their knees. Nobody don't beg them to pray. Those who see God and the Spirit of God come upon as God said in His Word He would do, He would have a people with hunger and thirst for it. People come in early and wait upon God and worship God in spirit to receive the Word. They will hear from heaven. See? And you look around, it's death all over and famine. Darkness upon the people. And they say, but ain't they believe the same message? Ain't they read the same books? They say, yeah, but they don't know royal blood in the veins. Amen. He said, but this slave different. God have a different people. For everybody, not everybody. Amen. So notice, 1963, when that book opened, the prophet saw everything inside of there. God opened the seven church ages before. So the time came, time for the seven seals to open, and he went to the seven seals. And from the fourth to the 19th chapter, the first three was that was already given, and from the 19th to the 22nd, everything was revealed. Right into the prophecy, so the whole book was open, and you could read in page 4 and 5 somebody in God in this evil age. He says, I'm trying to stay under the anointing to see which one to open up since the book has been opened. Amen. And every message from 1965 came out from under one of those seals. Amen. Whether it was thunders, vials, trumpets, church angels, whatever it was coming out of that book. Amen. Then after, you know, we were taking how we went to preach the seven trumpets, and the Holy Spirit said, don't go in there. Amen. It's not time yet for it to be given. And then also, it don't pertain to the church, it pertain to the Jews. And right there, many people get their minds locked away. But we find the Jews in timepiece. And just as God had flashes of the Jews between the ages, God had flashes of the church between the trumpets. Amen. And then the people failed to go into the book. And you all know by your experience, Feast of the Trumpets, it seems so complicated, so misunderstood, so confusing to read. And then right here, the Holy Spirit in sovereign grace come and just make it plain for us. And what's something? You see, after Feast of the Trumpets, Balaam came back in 1965. Now, I'm going to give it this in later in the week, but just throw it out so I could get to what I want to say tonight. Later on, he always had a message in his heart he wanted to bring. He said, I'm waiting until we get a place fixed together where I could really set up the tent and get down to preaching, and we'll get those seven thunders, those seven trumpets, and those seven vials and bring it to you to follow the church ages and the seals. Because you know Revelation is seven church ages, seven seals, seven trumpets, seven vials. And he said, out of the ages come the seals, out of the seals come the trumpets come the vials. And if you get the church in by revelation, the rest of the revelation will open to you.
Amen.
Did he say that?
Amen.
All right. It was given in detail for that very purpose.
Amen.
So the rest of the revelation. Because it's just two spirits all the way through. God and the devil. That is simple. Under the church ages, the devil is deceiving people. Under the trumpet, the devil is killing people. Over in the vials, he's tormenting people. But it's God and the devil all the way through. Right down until one going like a fire and one kingdom is established on the earth. And Satan for 6,000 years through religion, politics and demon power to establish a Eden. Alright. And it becomes the children of darkness to fulfill all unrighteousness because they have pleasure in unrighteousness. And they don't have the love for the truth. They feel uncomfortable when the truth being preached.
Amen.
They feel uncomfortable when God preaching the word straight.
Amen.
They feel uncomfortable when God condemning sin.
Yeah.
Well, you take out your Bible. Amen. Amen. If you have the love of the Father in your heart, you have the love of the world in your heart. If you're born again, you can't sin. Your life is hidden with Christ in God, sealed up by the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now watch. So after he came and he wanted to bring those messages to the church. And you know, we've been waiting before the Lord, right, in that little portion of the word. And the Holy Spirit so graciously remembering his promise. I will ride his trail one more time. That was a promise. A lot of people for the prophet to come back. But your Holy Spirit speaking to the prophet.
Amen.
In the first person.
Amen.
Because when David said, pierce my hands and my feet.
Amen.
And they cast lots of my garments. That was never fulfilled. And Jesus never come and say, well, David has to come back up to fulfill that. Jesus anointed that to himself. Alright. And those things spoken by the prophet, many looking to come back up. When he preached, Spirit speaking to the prophet. And let them know. Don't always look for me to speak in the future tense. Don't always look for me to speak in the second person. Enough times I will go in that gear and speak in the first person.
Amen.
And if they don't know the word, you will think it's I talking.
Amen.
But remember, I am a prophet and I cannot teach contrary to the Bible.
Amen.
I am not sent to add. I am only sent to reveal what is already written.
Amen.
Amen. So you take faith to step out and take it and say, God said, she shall turn out the west. Everybody who went on something on the east, on the north, they want it. Because they don't have patience to wait on God. I'll tell you later on, they love pleasure. They're not interested in bringing forth seed. They just want the pleasure.
Amen.
They don't want the responsibility. I say the word. They just want the pleasure.
Amen.
If it's spiritual, you get what I'm saying.
Amen.
Bunch of sex maniacs.
Amen.
Is it churches? Yes.
Amen.
Churches have spirits. This church could be an adulterous woman or a fine lady.
Amen.
And I could be an old seducer or a eunuch.
Amen.
And what is the eunuch and the prophet? He says, I haven't come and never proselyte you. I never tried to set up an organization.
Amen.
He's always pointing to Christ. Then furthermore, my whole ministry has been trying to establish a spiritual relationship between you and Christ, whereby you become new creation in Christ, all things become new and old things pass away.
Amen.
He said, I didn't come to make you shout. I didn't come to preach a nice message to make you jump.
Amen.
I'm not using messages to put on your emotions.
Amen.
I'm not using my knowledge to entice you. But rather, he said, for you to keep the punches off of you and be a soldier on the battlefield. When the word finished, I wanted to say, but that brother could preach. You'd have a prostitute spirit in you if you find that brother could preach. Because what made you feel nice was the preaching. And you like how the brother preach. But you said, that's the word of God. Lord, help my soul to obey it and become part of it and feed upon it. That's a big word full of righteousness. You had the right spirit upon you.
Amen.
You wouldn't hold man person in admiration.
Because
the prophet knew he was Eliezer, he must not touch Rebecca at all.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But you find all these little denominational spirits who invade the pulpit, come out of Pentecost. And they want to win the affection of the people in the message.
Amen.
So then they put up themselves on a platform. They want to be so nice before they captivate them. And a lot of people like that. And a lot of people be satisfied with that. And a lot of people run after that. In the vision was two women. One was naked, dancing to rock and roll, very vulgar. It was a church that had a spirit.
Amen.
Behind come a young lady, well dressed, very clean, striding, not even a march, it was more like a stride, graceful, ladylike. She had a spirit too. One is the spirit of the church, one is the spirit of the bride. Both churches had spirits. One committed adultery, one love our pleasure more than love our God, one is a virgin to the word. That's why Paul said, I come with fear and trembling to preach, to say something, only that your faith will stand the power of God.
Amen.
When you believe something, it's because it is thus, saith the Lord.
Amen.
Because if somebody was nice and charming and lovey-dovey, they couldn't seduce you.
Amen.
They have to be that way to seduce you.
Amen.
It was some old 2x4 hillbilly who, you know, his thought, hate, fetch, carry, and blasting left, right, and center, that can't seduce you.
Amen!
Amen. Let me leave that alone. That's for later on. Now watch. So there's a message to come forth, and we say we believe that the message is coming forth. How many believe the message has been completed?
Amen.
Amen. Thank God for the few believers. Now watch. If you know a prophecy was given, and the word told you to watch for certain things, like Elijah told Eli, go up on the mountain and watch. And he went up there and he was supposed to be looking for a prophecy of the prophet to come to pass. And he was supposed to be there watching, not for nothing else, but for that. And he come back and said, I ain't seen nothing. You ain't seen nothing? He said, go back up and watch 7 times. Maybe your binoculars in focus. Maybe you're watching something in the world. That's why you see nothing. Because your eyes see through your heart. Maybe your heart is set on the promise. Your heart set on some little affection beneath. Not on things above. Go back and wait 7 times until your binoculars get focused and come back and tell me if you see nothing. When he came back, you were seeing something. Now watch. So here we are at a place when the message that was a comfort is coming forth, because from the time those seven trumpets begin to be revealed and the Holy Spirit take it out in the Revelation 8 and 9, reveal the Euphrates River, 200 million spiritual devils, what it is. It's not a natural river, it's a spiritual river. It's demon powers, how it was loose in the ecclesiastical realm, how they were loose to come against their bride, how those locusts darkened the land, they darkened the sun, and that sun, when the locusts were darkening out the sunlight, S-O-N, God showed it in the sky, in the natural realm, to give a sign to the church that it is now loose in the ecclesiastical realm, and they are coming to block the message out. They are uniting to close you down. And the darkness that is upon the churches is failing to see the light. But the light couldn't come where except there was eyes. And the eyes came in the evening time, because you see with your eyes, not your feet, not your hands, not your mouth. And in this day when the church built right up to the eyes, and the eyes came, then the light came and shined upon the world to reveal the secret of Christ, coming to reveal the book of Revelation and identify all these things upon the face of the earth. And when the prophet in 1963 opened the seven seal book and all these mysterious things begin to be identified and set in order by the prophet messenger, many people who were good people, nominal Christians, begin to feel the pull of the hour. They begin to feel demon power. Ministers begin to come and cry. But Abraham, why is there no revival? It doesn't seem to have the moving the meetings no more. And the historian observed that people begin to put more emphasis on money in the messages. And they begin to come away from preaching holiness and begin to inject more love. Preaching love. And open my door for sin and immorality to creep in, because wasn't the Holy Spirit no more anointing them, because the anointing had dropped to perform signs and wonders to attract the people's attention to get them ready for a message. But people unrighteously partook of that blessing. They manifest in the Holy Spirit. They went forth with gifts and show themselves as some great minister. Amen. They cast no devils and they come back rejoicing that power of devils. True, and sometimes the bride will get caught up in, and the Holy Spirit tell the bride, don't you rejoice for that? Amen. Because many of those men cast out devils into the flesh, but they have devils in the soul. Amen. They are souls in prison. Amen. But you rejoice because you recognize what part of the bridegroom you are. Amen. You see a name under that seventh seal and it's pulled back. And when God changed the anointing, and the anointing went from miracles to the word, to the revealing of truth, the same spirit that performing miracles began to reveal truth, they never had the soul, the bedding ground, to receive the word. They never had the ear to hear the truth. They had love for pleasure and righteousness. And they would not repent and do like what the brother was doing. And when God told them about it, they would not repent still, and then they became willfully disobedient. They crossed the line, and death struck them. And when death struck them, they realized no anointing to perform miracles and these things. No anointing to bring truth. The message is the same old denominational message. Give us a track. Accept Jesus as a person, save and you save. And then try to make the person a mule by making them work hard to build the organization. Keep them busy in programs. Amen. They had to shift their attention from money. And they used fear in these things on the people to frighten them. In order to hold them. And they held the ignorant in foodless pastures.
Yeah, true.
See, and the Spirit was moving with the prophet, revealing the truth. And when he begins to reveal the truth, he begins to identify to us these things in this book that we read in this book was already taking place on the earth. He showed up with 200 million spiritual devils loose. That's why they can't get no revival. Ministers who sat with him, David Duplessis, all them as he spoke on souls in prison, came back with a meeting from the Pope and said, boy, that was a spiritual meeting. They sit with a prophet and they see nothing. Sit with a Pope and see spiritual. And these men were supposed to be, he is supposed to be one of the big teachers on the baptism of the Holy Ghost in the Pentecostal ranks. Check it out and see. So when the Catholics fell down and the charismatic movement started, when the Catholics began to speak in tongues, they said they was getting it too. You see what's happening? Now watch. And why then the prophet had to stand alone and bring truth out, though it was being misunderstood, though they didn't reject, though they didn't reject him, but he knew he was storing it up for a time when famine is going to come. Because he was watching the type and he was getting encouragement. He was watching, there will be a little group who will bow the knees to that system. He was watching the elect, a 7,000 who is laying there that God show him. They won't bow down, but they will feed upon that hidden food. There's a woman who will give she last meal and she last bit of oil for that word. Hallelujah! And he was sealed in the word and it was giving him courage to preach it though he stood alone. Knowing that there have to be people raised up. He saw there would be Micaiahs who would say what Elijah said. Those Zedekiah commented to pervert the whole thing. Everybody saying what Zedekiah saying. He said, I will say what God say. I will say what Elijah already say. I don't want the popular opinion. Amen. I'll say what the prophet said. Hallelujah. It was good enough for Brother Branham and it's good enough for me. Hallelujah. Amen. And God was watching that, showing to the prophet, and he was preaching. Now watch. And he told us, he said, no, the reason those Pentecostals go into that place, those spirits is loose upon them to take them to Armageddon. They go in there, they don't know it.
Amen.
That's why you hear some of them talk and they put on the mark of the beast and they talk about different things and they don't like them, you know.
Amen.
Yes. They are blind. And naked. And the sorrowful thing is they don't know it. Insanity. And while Laodicea drifts into the insane mind, watch the bride from the eyes move into the intelligence of Christ. And when one is back to the threefold secret in the back part of God's mind, is in the heart, and the bride has the mind of Christ, and she knows it down the world, is while the world is insanity. Because they had nothing to transform them by the renewing of the mind. We're going to get those things later on. Just train all your faith. You will see what we're coming to. You will see where all these things are heading up to. And when people think something's going to happen, they find it coming on upon them. And they was living a good life. And all of a sudden it gets rough. And the pull gets strong. Because the Holy Spirit is withdrawing from the world now. For 19 years, God anointed people to go all into the jungles, all along the world with this message. To print the books, to print this. People sacrifice. Believers, this thing you ain't paying for, and you have hundreds in the shelf home. Take hundreds. God anoint people and provide to give money to support the growing the world. Send it out. And then the hour comes when it catches the elect and take up in the mystery. Then the Spirit of God begins to draw back. And then you feel the vibrations of hell. Passing all through you. And if you know you're living a Christian life in the right of God and you have no sin in your life, don't be discouraged. Just You have a tight post, you'll stay anchored.
Amen.
But if you never had no tight post, you're going to go down the cataracts.
Amen.
Your canoe will go straight down the cataract.
Amen.
Because everything has been shaken, we're in it. People, you see, people are still on the church. They know they're in it. It's oppressed. They're trying to listen. They're going back here. They're trying to listen. They're going back here. And they want to serve God and demon powers. And the birds, like, almost want to build a big nest in their mind. And they say, oh God, but I die in me. How against you? And he says, no, you're not against you. It's because of the spirit is drawing back from that world here now.
Amen.
He's drawing back now. And the Holy Spirit in sovereign grace opening His word to bring you out. To anchor you. And the prophet is going through the most dreadful times. Oh, may God help us to see how dreadful the time is. To see the kind of spirits loose on people. You watch them in the street, they look so nice. Look at Miss America. Looks so nice on television. Looks so nice, so photogenic, as they would call it in the world. Has so much poise and personality and trained. In the way to attract people in this world.
Amen.
But they look all rotten behind. And it's years that spirit was upon you. And judges sit down and judge and find she was so standing to win the crown. And they judge with that spirit on. And there wasn't close observers. You know what's happening?
Amen.
Don't watch people. I'm the message. I'm the love of Jesus. Hallelujah. If the life can't take that word, it's devil's there.
Amen.
Because you are the Holy Ghost, will say amen to every word.
Amen.
You have a thinking man, filthy, you have a holy man, taste. You'll be waiting to see the word come from in your life. That's a holy man taste.
Amen.
With a vote in your soul, you can't wait for Noah to open that door and let you out. You'll find your big table spread out there. Full of vomit and rotten carcass and all kinds of different things.
Yeah.
You'll find your flesh delight. Amen. But Jesus has a table spread.
Yeah.
Where you'll find your soul delight. You'll have a holy man taste also. I know it's hard and it's shaking and it's passing all the trees tonight, you know. But you see, is he making it like that? I'm responsible for that. The brothers, Brother Sanchez and Brother William, they sit down with me there for hours. Everything's for hours. If you went for a rest, and I will tell the saints there. Brother Sanchez and Brother Willie is as bad as Brother Robbie and Brother Wilson. What are you talking about, rest? For hours, they haven't been preaching the whole day. But you see, this morning, I got up there early and went downstairs in the room to study. I went downstairs, I said, I'm going to pray first before I go to study. And I still want to look up a scripture in the Bible. And the Spirit of God just came. And for 5 hours, I was there and different scripture. And then the time was up. I had to get ready for service. And I pray it. And God just from scripture, just there for 5 hours, just open up a whole thing in the message. And give me this message to preach tonight first. So I preach it by faith. I didn't discuss some of these things here with the brothers. The scripture is very scripture to read. We didn't touch these scriptures. When is your fellowshipping? It just comes today. Hold me to take these scriptures there first. And when it came there, I said, well, all right, if that is it, leave that back there, but start here tonight. And see how it's going to open because, and I wanted to come on the pulpit and sing. I just want to dove to Lewis Eagle. If anyone ever, that is what I believe. That is the last message going out, you see? And it takes the Holy Spirit who led us all to the Word to keep leading us on.
Amen.
In the footprints He have left.
Amen.
These footprints.
Yeah.
And then when I was there, I heard the beginning to sing it, and I said, that's it. Everything is just right. So I know it's strange to meet you, but I'm watching where he's going. He's moving all through the air. And you see, I'm be looking at you, but physically me don't mean you, physically. His word may be is going all there. He knows where he's going out. Because a shaking time, and many people sit down here to under this word, and many who's long here, maybe 99%, is not here for the first time. So if this word is coming for tonight and you're in a condition there where you are falling in the balance and you come wanting, at the end of the service you find an order somewhere in your heart where you can really get sincere before God. Because you watch if you're a believer and following the line of the Spirit and the line of the word in this message, and all those years God stayed there and begin to touch those seven trumpets and the Holy Spirit break it. And when it breaks, here comes the next part here, you know, begin to open just like that. And those who follow the message for years coming through, many times I pick up some things there and talk about the wrath of God bringing people from heaven and the supreme judge and all those things, and we reach a place and can't go no further. But you watch and see how the Holy Spirit open that door and go right inside now. And then you tell me if you sit down here and if it's just church to you, or if you feel the pull of the hour and say yes, you're all late, or you see what is happening and you're missing the awakening that God is in the midst waking up those who is going out. While the prophet was back there with those people and they trying to hold the people back in foodless pastures, trying to bleed them the money and these things and get them the politics to take them down, going back to Romanism and all these things. And the prophet stood alone preaching the word, watching the type, knowing that the bride, when the Holy Spirit come back, would bring back these things to her remembrance. Even the very words of the Son of Man, he will bring it back to her remembrance and teach her further on these truths. He said, I'm laying in messages here so you could dovetail all scripture. Amen. He said, when the Spirit come back, he will teach and show these things. You're not supposed to catch it now, but when you have reason to see it, God will make it plain. And I tell you, that's why I tell you, to begin with, I tell you, you hear strange things, leave it alone, go home, check it back, check the reference you get. And wait until they check it out, and if you have a question, then we can have some questions and answers afterwards. Don't try to come and rush me with your question and probe me and with your unbelief. Amen. And you sit down there and you're not understanding something, pray in your heart, Lord, show me. Go back home, pick up the book the inspiration coming from, begin to read, and let God give you a revelation. Amen. Because you see, what is actually happening, we into a place and we into a time here that a lot of people have a lot of ideas. And it doesn't know it is conception until revelation comes forth. Now let me tell you what is plain. You say, you go and form conclusions among yourself. I tell you that my inspiration here is the pouring out of the seven last vials. Revelation 16. Now I always pertain that to Moses and Elijah. I shall always think that's Moses and Elijah. But what I'm seeing is not Moses and Elijah. Moses and Elijah smited with plagues, but not that. Because John said one of the angels who had the plagues came and talked to me. And that's the angel who revealed the great harlot, who showed him the bride, who measured the city, who do all these things. And that's the angel he bowed down to worship.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Perfect brother.
And I'm not bringing it out of my head. Because I stayed there for days. And I run back through all the messages. I went to and pick up all them concordance and codebook and I run back through. And they have about four scriptures where Brother Ram talked about Revelation 16. And they have about maybe 50 where he talked about Revelation 11. And no 2 times you ever associate them together. And no one place ever even full that is that. I'm going to prove to you by the word taken from here tonight to show you that that is something different. That is us. I should dismiss now because many of you don't leave me already. And go, no, when I say leave me, I mean go in your own private room and start a study and pull up all your old drawers. Same thing I tell you, don't do you do, you see? Let the secret out and everybody get leery. Okay, well, you'll see. I this is just to make a study. I'm going to rent someone to see you after the service. Amen. He's the person I can sit and talk to. Check back out some of these things. Amen. Now watch. So, he said many people now. Good people, nice people. They're feeling the pull of the hour. They cry out for revival, a great awakening. But because they're not born again, they couldn't recognize what was taking place. God had a prophet in the midst of the seven thunders, telling them, if demon powers have been loose upon you all. When God gave them a chance in Chicago, right there, for them to, and they said, oh, Brother Bam, send, give me 300 tapes, we come to be rebaptized. They never came. He said, they crossed the line of mercy and the blood out of the book. Yeah. And all them that followed them, because that ride in Revelation 6, all hell followed him. Following him. So all these revelations, all these were slept in the book. Then he came and he showed us. He said, look, those nations being gathered together and they're going to Armageddon right now. The money proposition, the Jews and Rome going to come together. And you watch how those things came out. You saw it came out? And the Holy Spirit told you those things here before. Yes. They give that man the first 2 years to be the Prime Minister of Israel. That's exactly what they want. See? Shimon Peres, when I'm speaking here to you, I tell you that that man, he had the right spirit. Because Shimon means doesn't perish in a bishop contract anyhow. See, to go over into that. Because the money is already tied up in America. Amen. And that's where the Jews' money is. Amen. In Wall Street. Yes, and from the time America recognized the Vatican, I mean, have a relationship with them, you watch what is happening. Now we know these only things maturing, because the union was way back in 1960 when Ahab and Jezebel it was together. Yes. They were already married back there in spirit. Yes. The union was in spirit back there already. To fulfill the scripture, when Elijah did not go in the days when Elijah was given his prophecy, Ahab and Jezebel must be in a union already. Yes. And he's going to prophesy both on judgment. Why the message is coming forth? Alright? That's very plain for you to see. Okay, now what? 1 Kings 21, what we take here, the Old Testament shadow of Israel history, in the time of Elijah, when Ahab and Jezebel ruling is taking place on the earth again. Ahab and Jezebel rule back in that time. 1 Kings, we teach it a little bit now. Revelation 6, 7, and 8, the fourth seal was religion, politics, and demon power. Because the first horse went out with the same horse rider on the eighth seal. But different horses. But same rider. Everybody understand that? And it went forth in a white horse, the Antichrist put in the church. Then come with a red horse. When they kill out all the Christians back to make war. And he killed him with a sword. A sword was given to him. And he lived by the sword. And we find out he's going to come back and die by the sword also. Then the third seal, when they gather the wealth of the world, and with all the seals and dungeons and these things, I measured for a penny, I measured a barley and these things. Then the fourth seal, all three powers, was wrapped up into one for the last day. Because when that is wrapped up together, an eagle will go forth to meet the challenge. But there was only one prophet promised to the Gentile. And that was Elijah. Amen? Amen? So that prophet, when he's coming forth, that Roman power that started in the first age would be in full control in the last days. So under the seal, what God is showing under the seal here, in symbol form, he was actually showing that when that woman power, which is the same Jezebel, the system, religion, politics, and demon power, because in her, she's the whole of every devil, every cage of every hateful unclean bird, it's from her, those 200 million devils was loose out of the river Euphrates, and they had a king who was called Abaddon in the Greek and Apollo in the Hebrew. Alright? And we found that was none other than Lucifer himself, which is the beast, the cat, the very same woman. Alright? So that power that come right down to the ages in the last days, when it's all been consolidated, religion, politics, church, and state coming together and controlling everything, is the time when an eagle will go forth. According to the scripture. And that was a prophet, and God had promised such a thing in the Bible. Revelation 10 said, I promise a prophet. In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he began to sing, the mystery of God will be finished, as he had declared to the seventh prophets. Also, Malachi 4:5, I'll send you Elijah the prophet before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Because the fourth beast, Rome, ruled right down to the end and was the last kingdom. How many understand that? Okay, I'm trying to establish you the Roman power that is there. And when the Roman power that is there, Jezebel, see, Babylon, mystery Babylon, because she's called Jezebel in the New Testament. How many know that? Revelation chapter 2 says, ask that you suffer that woman Jezebel. After hit the scriptures, because I don't spend my time already. You suffer that woman Jezebel to teach you oath of Nicolaitanism, then Balaamism, and then Jezebelism. And that will, it happened in the message too. They started conquering the people. Organize them with the organizational spirits. Rule them. Dictate for them. Then they begin to subject them to a corrupt clergy and lead them to another form of worship. Into fornication. And they hit Balaamism right in the message. Then from that now, the next step is the doctor Satan. That woman Jezebel is going to come in and actually take over the very whole thing. And she was the one behind it all. And that very spirit, as a Roman spirit all the time, this was after it came from the Antichrist, the false prophet, this was it comes incarnate in the beast. First it started off a seducing spirit, corrupt clergy, deceiving the people, Nicolaitans, conquering the laity. Then after it became incarnate in a man, what was I saying become a doctrine? But they was adding to the word now. They was bringing out their own revelation the prophet never taught. And they became a false prophet or a false doctrine. They have more than one wife and all this kind of foolishness. Yes? And then after that, then they become a beast. They devour and tear up anything that don't believe what they believe. See? Same spirit mature all the time. Hold them into the little form. Build up a wall and surround them. Keep them inside. Make them in the house of hell. But let me say, the water is overflowing and the ducks can come out and swim. No gate is a hole, nobody in this hour. When the tide rises rapidly, the ducks will float above the water. And the real birds of light feather will flock together. Because the wisdom of man trap eagle and put them in cages. And they bind them and tell them with all the cunning craftiness. They set a trap for the eagle. And then eagle beat their head against the bars day and night. And when they lie down there, look up, and they can't make it. Because they're caged. But when that cycle returns, that boy say, house of hell give way. Every cage must begin to fall down. So the fourth seal, when that Roman power comes in full control, God sent the fourth beast, Elijah, to face the challenge. And under the fourth seal, hear what he shows. He says, and they kill by the sword, with hunger, with death, and the beast of the field. Amen. Just give a little part here of the fourth seal. Oh my, paid Christian to the shame, he says, notice, he never gave, he gave her space to repent, but she didn't do it. He done it again and she won't do it. Her rejection away. Her rejection makes a perfect way for Satan to come into her and be incarnate. Now those demons are loose. And they are helpless without a channel. But they will have many channels because in this age, many will be deceived. Many will turn to ungodliness. Many will turn to fables because they have itching ears. They have fallen away from the faith. And when they turn and they disbelieve the revealed word, to sin willfully is death. Death is eternal separation from the presence of God. They go mark like Cain. Willfully disobedient to the revealed word. The second death strikes them in the soul even while they are alive in the body. All they have is a form of godliness. Nothing more. All they have is an outward motion because of the knowledge and the learning, ever learning, but it never came to the knowledge of the truth. And they become reprobate concerning the faith. And Malachi 4 restore faith. When the Son of Man comes in the earth in the last days, shall he find faith? And those seven thunders is to do what? Literally turn the hearts of the children back to the faith of the fathers. So notice, when he comes, he will not find in many people, they'll be demon possessed. Because the rejection of the word makes a way for the devil to come in and be incarnate. Your belief of the word make a way for the Holy Ghost to come in and be incarnate. Amen. Amen. God give the Holy Ghost to them that obey Him. Full obedience to the whole world and tackle to the token. Then disobedience to the word makes a way for the devil to come and be incarnate. And you don't have to say, I disbelieve the message. Eve didn't walk away and disbelieve the Bible. She was confused on one promise. It is the error that she believed. Are you getting that? It is the error that she believed. And false anointed ones have come with error, a spirit of error, to seduce her. Because they determined to prove she no different to Eve. She's a luster. She loves pleasure. And he can seduce her when he wants. And she will say, not me. I know one man. I know Fluker. She fed herself with the word and the Holy Spirit. She have no itching in. She don't want no sensation. Hallelujah! She don't want to know all this phonographic knowledge that you have. She don't want to be somebody to experiment with that on to try to lead her to a higher sensation and emotion. She know Adam in the right season will be inspired and say, give you your two children. Receive your children. Be baptized with the Holy Ghost. She know in the right season. Hallelujah, I've got for love. The cats are going to cap off the payment of her life. Hallelujah. She'll stay there. Watch every one of them fix in their face and will not be deceived. Hallelujah. Because Lucifer thinks he can make this one do it. He says, if she come with second Adam and she come like Eve, she no different. Because I got the second Eve too. And I'm going from a third virgin. Because I done deceived two Eve. But not this one. Not this bride. No, sir. Mary, no man.
Hallelujah.
Let me tell you, Hagar, Mary, and Sarah is writing the message.
Yeah.
Hagar received Abraham's seed. The same seed that God gave him to produce the promise that God revealed to him.
Amen.
It came out of the same line. But Hagar was the wrong channel.
Amen.
Hagar, Egyptian egg. She denominational traits.
mixed with the word, Abraham's seed will produce a wild man whose hand will be against his brother continually. God will bless him, make him a mighty nation, give 12 princes, but he will not receive no inheritance.
God says so,
brother. Sarah was by sex also, and she brought forth more of a gentleman, out of which came a nation that served God. A message of believers. A nation that served God. Not like the nominational Ishmael from back there. A nation that served God. But that same nation turned around and reject the message. Reject the promised seed when he came. And when he have returned according to the time of life, they cannot take him. When he have come down, as he said he would, they cannot take him. They cannot take that last part of the message. And they turn wrong and they reject that very seventh seal. Hold on to God, it's not prophet, nomination false, and we love Jesus. But Mary, she knew no man. She brought forth the faith seed of Abraham. With the Holy Ghost himself overshadowed her. And that holy thing in her that was conceived was called the Son of God. Because out of that message of believers, Mary was a channel. Like Mary was part of the Jewish race that reject Jesus. But in that Jewish race had the elected channel to the real promise was going to come. A lot of people have the nice little Isaacs. They have the nice little Ishmaels. But Mary will bring forth Christ. She will know no man. And Balaam said, if you're going to put in sensation there, you'll make her have a carnal act with God. And look what you're trying to bring the Spirit of God into. Sovereign grace come down and take over. See what's happening? Amen. Give me 10 more minutes. Let me jump to my scriptures quick. Amen. Hallelujah. Just trying to, you see, I'll have to come back right here tomorrow if I don't do that. Okay. So the fourth seal. Let me give you really quickly. Rejection of the word makes a way for the devil to come into her. And that's exactly the same thing the Protestant church becomes a harlot. It's because she rejects the vindicated truth of the word of God that gives the devil a place to come right in and incarnate himself. And he will make an image unto the beast where they consolidate together right now. And go on just exactly what he said. That's right. Balaam said, if I had an education, I could bring it out. I haven't got no education. I'm just expecting the Holy Spirit to reveal it to you. That's right. He said, he will do it. You pick up that same thought in many other messages. How willfully disobedient. They come out in the Exodus. And they became willfully disobedient to the same word that sanctified them. Wash away their filth. They come back and they trample that same word. And there was no more repentance. Hebrews 10 only tell the punishment of the rejection in Hebrews 6. Hebrews 6, they come right into the body of the promise, they saw it, they taste it, they enjoy the blessings, in the meeting, they rejoice, they shout, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, but they crossed the line. They became willfully disobedient when God brought the word to them and showed them what was right and showed them the error, yet they wouldn't walk out of the error. It made a way for them to become demon possessed. Because those devils that is loose must have channels to bring on hell on the earth, that the wrath of God will be poured out, because the generation has come where the wrath must be poured out. Amen. And if the generation stayed nice and sweet and didn't go into Sodom and perversion, God couldn't judge it. Amen. But it's demons that came into people, and it could only come into the people after they reject the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Then the nature of the demons is what begin to be expressed through the flesh. Amen. The soul was given over to the demons. The mind went into insanity. The very life was darkness, unfruitful works of darkness. What it is? The old nature that came by unbelief, by adultery in the beginning, the old husband. Amen. You're doomed if you don't die. Because he will rule you until death do you part in the lake of fire.
Yes. The only way is that God slay that old nature, that burn that snake out your heart. And if you find out any snake desires in your heart tonight, say, Lord, remember me. While the seraphim is here with a coal of fire, burn it out. Because you can't go to heaven outside a union with a new husband. Heaven belongs to him. And only he could take you there. And you can only come to the waters of separation into fellowship to worship under the blood. No other way. Many people, they trusted in their own work. They trusted in their ambition. They trusted in their desire. They wanted this and they wanted that. And they were smart. A lot of Jacobs in the message. They're too smart for their own self. Born of a godly home. But too smart. They're all deceiver. Not all nature there. See? Don't know about the things of God. That all power, reason, and self-will, you can never get it under your feet. All the jumping ahead of the spirit and trying to work out something.
I'm already gone, brother.
You better, while the day breaks, you better get a hold of the angel. Yeah. Amen. Get transformed.
Yeah.
God is linking back for many tonight, you know. I'm feeling it. I have 5-6 pages here. I can't read it. You link back for many of you tonight. Because we into where it's tonight. Treacherous text we into. And let me tell you, if you don't believe it, they don't change it.
Hallelujah.
You take a walk outside in the world. And you have the Holy Spirit inside you, the real Holy Spirit. Watching through your eyes. You tell me what you see. You pray and you get up in the fears of God one time. You heard it on the tape? What the prophet saw was joke to what we see now, you know. He saw someone with the eye paint up. And he was screaming, hell coming on the earth. But because he saw the spirit in the word, and he know what they're going to manifest into, and he saw insanity creeping up, and he know what they're going to mature into, and he saw way back at his time, there's already calling themselves beetles and monsters and cats and dogs. And then all these funny waterhead, they are the waterhead here, because today we are the punk. Is it the same demon changing the fashion? Maturing it? Isn't the perversion what start here? Today they're marching for their own rights. And it come a normal thing to, if you're that way. In Canada, we see the electing a priest. A man be a priest who is a professed known homosexual. Well, that ain't nothing too bad because priests marry two men together. So you see where you're coming to. And those things are coming to be normally accepted because being going into legislation and becoming law now. What are you going to do? You can't kill out all the people. And you have them on your hand. And they're making a good contribution to the society. Because many of them is big shots. And have influential jobs and educated. Where they get brainwashed in certain institutions.
Amen.
Where their minds was twisted from God.
Amen.
Until believe there is no God.
Amen.
So then when it comes to legislation, it becomes normal. It becomes acceptable as part of the society. You see how sin creeping?
Amen.
And in the churches?
True, brother. That's true.
And people are going to play around and think they come to this light and will walk with those kind of things. But the Bible said twice dead done, plucked by the roots, deceived and being deceived. They are so lost and they don't know it. Amen. He said, notice, we see by God what a promise he will kill her children, denomination, Jezebel children, with spiritual death. Now that's Revelation 2:22. He said, don't forget it. To kill is to put to death. Death is eternal separation from the presence of God. Now watch. He's bringing it out here for us now. Show us the fourth thing, what it really means. I only went back to the type back there to place out something and show you. Is it was in the evening time of Elijah's prophecy that Jezebel and Ahab had been killed to fulfill what Elijah said. And in those days, it had those 400 ones who was prophesying. And an unclean spirit of hell came up into the mouth. And by what they prophesied, deceived those who was looking unto that prophecy. Those who was not checking that prophecy with what Elijah said. You get what I'm saying? That was in the tie back there. Now over here now, I'm trying to open this fourth seal a little more here and see that we are in it. It's going on. This is what he said. I'm talking about what's happening now. Fulfilling what he said. Then that will explain to you why it is the people is getting worse. He saw it back in his time. He said, I preach back and forth the nation. How do I preach? Will I come back the worst again?
Amen.
He said, man wearing purple pants and yellow shoes.
Amen.
He said, they could prove to me that a man in the body, but I'll prove to them in the spirit they're perverted.
Amen.
Now what about a church body that is perverted in spirit?
Amen.
Look right there in the neighborhood where we live, in Coquille Village. There is a lot of sin going on. You know people talk about it. And right there is a church there. It was a Pentecostal church. And whenever we pass, there's always a woman on that platform preaching. That is spiritual lesbianism.
Amen.
That is the very same spirit. You say, Brother Huggins says, the prophet said the natural spirit of denomination is the spirit of fornication, natural
Amen.
Fornication.
Amen.
And that's going to open publicly, and the people in the congregation is rejoicing and being blessed. They are lover of sinful pleasure. Because they're perverted in spirit. And God will stone them and kill them. I ain't trying to frighten you. I'm saying what the Bible said. What about when you have a house and a woman ruling the man? Isn't he a sissify man? Because she have perverted the office by intruding to the office of the head in that domain that God, when he told your home is your domain, as a son of God, you have jurisdiction over the borders of that home, and you are the head of that home. And your leadership to come from God. And then you minister to your family. And your wife in the house just serve you. Not dominant rulership we're talking about. But when a woman intrudes into that office, she's actually trying to pervert the office. Because God didn't give her the spirit to fulfill that office. So when she tried to do that now, then when anything moving the home there, it can't be handled. Because God's law and God's principles that govern that home, for God to come in that home and assist that home and do anything for that home, it's been contravened. It's been defied and perverted. Because you give the man a masculine spirit and give the man a feminine spirit. And anything you find a church, where a congregation will dictate to a minister. And he can't preach and he can't preach that. And then I preach like a tickle the air and let them out over because they can't stay in service too long.
Come on.
and you're afraid to preach the truth because you don't want to offend. You know, some people, they can't correct your life at all. She have a temper? She will embarrass him? All right now. Now, how much churches, when the prophet can be found in that condition? Is it for a meal ticket? Those perverted spirits that was there, when God looked, he saw a dominant female and he saw a 55 man. And that's why God can bless it. I want to promise I don't come back to the word. They couldn't do it. And those women stamped their feet and walked out. And those churches, they walk away and they forsaken for the word. When he was trying to be a eunuch and establish the Christ, and when man was coming all kind of funny different things, that is what they wanted because of the spirit that was in those churches. I want to see people who said in the message, and you were them that church. And you were talking about ministers showing their own thoughts, and you were them. It is that very spirit there.
Amen.
How about the prophet? You pray, you go to that church, then you pray. Find out what kind of spirit in that church. See? Because churches have spirits. And the spirit of the pastor is the spirit on the congregation. He says, see a pastor while I'm radical, worship people the same way. See a pastor blow up and in that kind of spirit, worship people the same way. Somebody heading high minded, worship people the same heading lifted up way. And men will say, oh, we are belonging to Brother Brown congregation, what he says for us. Well then, if we should have the spirit he have. Because you have the spirit he had, and the spirit can't take what he said, then you are already deceived.
Amen.
This week, a lot of things going to be tested, you know. But I think for the real believer, going to drive your roots deeper. The unbeliever, they may be like shrivel and tremble with fear, but the real believer, I think the root is going to be anchored.
Amen.
And they'll walk more upright.
Amen.
Amen. Because all these things, these people being demon possessed. Because let me tell you, when a person is born of the word and come to the water of the separation, congregation of the place, minister of the place, everybody know the place.
Amen.
And they have the spirit to serve in that position that God put them in.
Amen.
I was talking to the two brothers last week Sunday in the office. They were having a little fellowship, edifying one another. And I just tell them, I say, sometimes, I say, it's like a home. And the father gone away. And the mother is there changing her clothes in the bedroom. And when the son walk in, the mother go to change her clothes privately. And he said, Mommy, where's the matter? Let me see. He'll be fasting out the place. He may want to go and talk his mother a certain way. He can't talk his mother a certain way. See? He may want to look like Nimrod and his wife. You know Nimrod's wife was his mother? Because he told him was perverted? You know, a natural man and a natural woman, that they have different glands. They have different spirits. And the hormones and the different way God make up in the body, they will have on a physical contact, it will bring certain emotions and sensations because there's opposite sex. But what makes it defile? Like what they call incest. Today they have that spirit loose in the world, in the natural realm. It's also in the spiritual realm too, you know. The fathers live with the children. See? And then also you find children want to live with the parents. Like back in the Nimrod. Now, there would be the sensation. Because male and female, they have to do with mother and father. Sensation has to do with gland. And different in spirit. But it is perverted and dirty and stink because it's wrong. It's contrary to God's law that governs that. If you have a son who would want to interfere with his mother, look how perverted that is in the spirit. Now, that I'm trying to show you. You see, demon possession we're talking about, and insanity. Because when you hear a woman who's doing that, you hear it in the natural realm today, God's going to kill those people. Burn them in the lake of fire, homosexual, lesbians, all kind of perverted people. Now you watch. And because these people are going to be destroyed for what they're doing, now they get the sensation. They get the feeling in the flesh. But the spirit is perverted and the thing is demon inspired. And that spirit is the very same spirit in the spiritual realm. The spirit don't change, that's the realm. Come on, the same demon. Is the same demon in religion, same demon in politics, the same demon in immorality, the same devil. So when the word to the blind, the naked, and the perverted, many times we think is natural to God talking about. But in the churches, 90% of the time God is dealing with. When the Bible says evil men will come and seducing spirits, make them depart from defaith. He said they have to be in the clergy. Yeah. If it's a seducing spirit, the congregation is a lady. Yeah. And when Christ came, he was looking for character in a church. Yeah. The character with the virtues to prayer, to sincerity, to the word. Yeah. And that is what he failed to be. That is what the Ephesian church failed to be. And that's what the test in this day is. This bride will have to prove she's not like those brides. And that is why the test is false anointed ones, preachers to come the last days, preaching. Amen. To deceive her. And except her spirit is original, she shall be deceived. Amen. And when you see people doesn't care what preach. I just want to have a good time. I enjoy a blessing. That's what you call as. I don't want to say some of those words. But you understand what it is. That is an evil spirit. When you're a congregation, you don't want it. They just rejoice in certain things. And when the word come, they can't take it. They have the same spirit that is on a woman in the street. Just on sexual pleasure because of a sex demon. But they don't want to bring forth the true virtue of the life of Christ, which the church has to produce. What a trap boss to root. All the women in the field was in the field. And boys in the harvest time, a type of Christ in the church, in the field in the harvest time, and the churches out there gleaning in the harvest time. And boys saw his eyes fell. And he said, I've heard of thee. You made a decision. Where thou goest, shall I go? Your people are my people, God is my God. I heard those things. How you didn't bother to come and go to his heart like your mother-in-law. But you do it for the word's sake. Yeah, but you're too dark to love your mother-in-law. How you come out to a young person, she's been old, and you're gleaning and labor in the field to get this little bit of wheat. To go and beat it and make bread so she doesn't have to eat on the table. He said, see those things. It was the character that struck him in the field. Her token was on display. You see what we're talking about? And
If this church has to be presented to Christ, if this church has to be dressed in the word, have to go try to find its character, have to be adorned with a meek and quiet spirit, like the daughters of Sarah. Sarah laughed with Revelation 2, you know. So meek and quiet don't mean you don't rejoice. But you know that rowdy woman? Scandalous woman? Like the one you saw in the vision dancing to the rock and roll music? Filthy. Was a church. Was a natural woman. Was a church. That church, that spirit couldn't take the word from the prophet. Amen. I'm going to close you off here. We'll pick it up tomorrow. But you see where we're coming down to. You follow the scriptures when you go home. When you get a chance to read or listen to the thoughts a little bit, pick it up a little bit so you can be more in tune when we come back tomorrow night. But watch and see that these things are upon us now, and people outside there, and churches in the message, and people wondering why the gift's not coming. Why no character? Why the following the time of testing? Why people like to come along so good after a while and then they're just gone? Why is it like a stagnation? Why is people fumbling around for a message? Why people can't pray an hour no more? Why when they go you find people cold and they can't be in the spirit? What's happening? What's taking place? You wonder what's happening. Let me tell you, it's really late. Just give a testimony in closing. We are in Antigua. And we sit down there in the house and we went there and we asked the Lord to lead us. First time we reached there, we didn't know anybody. We wanted a place to go, to get a little rest. We tried to find a tourist board. They give you a sheet of almost 200 places. We don't know the place, we don't know the location. We don't know if the place will be suitable. We wanted a quiet place. Most of the time they're thinking it's tourists and you want to see the tongue and move along the tongue and all the shopping areas. So they kind of tell me a few places like that. So we went in one or two places, we looked in the room and it was just more a place to sleep. Like you rest in the night and you get out in your room in the day. We wanted a place where we could sit down and relax, away from all the activity, where we'd be quiet to rest and fellowship. And we primarily asked the Lord to lead us. So we're going to leave that place, we move around a little bit. Just kind of stumbling around like nothing where we're going. All of a sudden, the Lord had brought a will to say, call the name of a certain place where we went. So afterwards, we begin to drive. We ask somebody where the place is. He said, that's way far in the country. We don't know what time it's going to be there. We don't know how way far it's going. You ask the people where the direction is. Tell me where so and so is. They tell you, well, go straight down. You say, well, how are we going to know this? Go straight down. Like these people don't know a direction. They give you a landmark to look for so and so. So then they point their hand in some place, you know, and even the way they speak, you know. So even when we drive, we came to the place. We didn't go and pass the place, and we decided, well, since we left and we come to this place, let's go and check out the place. We went to the place, and a lady took us around, showed us the place. It was just the ideal thing to our likeness. Just what we desired. So eventually we went and get some groceries, got help cooking facilities and these things. We went and we got it and we sit down there. And we came back, went in the apartment and get ourselves settled in. So while we're there, a couple of days passed, we decided now we're going to go service. So we was trying to get a hold of the church in Antigua because there's a little group there. And we didn't have the address, so we went back home. So we went around Brother Ojo, we got the address, and we decided to go and look for the brother. We went to look for him. We didn't meet him home that night, met his wife, and then the next day she told us they had service the next day, the following day. We went to the service the following day. While we went to the service the following day, we sat down the place, and you know, very obscure little place upstairs, a store. We kind of sit down there, we saw one brother in the place, and we wait there, kind of well dilapidated, eroded kind of condition. But we didn't mind, you know, God is coming as stable. So we sit down there and we waited and so on. And so it was at 7:30. So when it was 7:30, by about maybe 7:05, the brother who was leaving went outside. He didn't even know like we were his brothers. He didn't ask us, nothing at all, you know, just greet him. And after he went outside, we sat down there. And at 7:30, we see the walk in here and two others. One walk behind the pulpit, start a pray. The other one pick up a guitar. It's a kind of strange, you know. That's the way service is being, you know. So just before, while we were there waiting at half an hour there, while they went outside, here comes this big bat. Bat flying the place, and only flying, oh, this big bat flying around, you know. So I said, maybe that's the bat that was in Mary Sanders, you know. You know. So here's the bat flying around this place, you know. So we kind of sit down watching, you know, reading the our Bible, praying a little bit and so on. So then the service started and, you know, got in procession and the minister came. Well, he had busy us in the day, tell us to come out, he wanted me to preach tonight. So I said, alright. So the brothers sitting on there didn't know that, well, we come and the minister asked me to preach, so I wasn't going to tell him anything either. I sat down there and the minister came in during the song service. So while he came in during the song service, we all was there worshipping the Lord, having a good time in the song service. And then finally he just walked up to the pulpit now and he said, well, we're glad to have these brothers with us here and we're going to call the brother to come and preach tonight. And so I went and opened my Bible and began to preach a little bit about the unveiling of Jehovah's Masterpiece, you know, and, you know, the bride and these things, you know. I preached in there. And after about 10-15 minutes, like people were tired and yawning and falling asleep. And so, I preached through, cut the message maybe in about a third and just kind of finish off with a word of prayer and just hand the service back. So then after I took a little talk, you know, fellowship with them. Then we went back. So they wanted us like a stay for the Sunday. But the minister asked me if I was stay for the Sunday because he was going out. But he was trying to maybe arrange a service like a certain preach or something. I don't know. And I told him, I said, well, I don't know yet. Because we may go Barbados, but we're waiting to see what the airline flight is like. Because we'd like to drop in Barbados also. So eventually, we came and we get the confirmation and tickets. We decided to go Barbados. So we left Saturday evening. We arrived to Barbados. When we arrived there, like, the enemy just moved in there and attacked Brother Williams and began to affect his sight. See, so he wasn't seeing too properly and he began to stumble around a little bit and we had to kind of hold him and move him around. So then he decided that he wanted to go back home because he thought he wouldn't be useful and with any help and there'd be a hindrance to us while we're there. So I told myself, well, you just want to know Barbados? Brother Sanchez was here some years ago and instead of we just kind of sit around here and I and him kind of wander way around and I said, well, best we all go home because we're going to have the meetings from Tuesday in any case. So I quickly went to the airline and they told us they would get the tickets endorsed, the Bury people, to Eastern because Eastern had a flight going on. So we said, alright, we're going to go and get tickets endorsed to Eastern. So we went to the Eastern counter and had about maybe about 40 minutes or so before the flight would leave. And we couldn't get a hold of no Eastern official. So we went back to the Bury people, we went back into the immigration place there and tried to get a hold of an Eastern official. We couldn't get a hold of nobody. The plane came down and was in the ground. Here we are with all our luggage in Barbados and the plane on the ground and we just couldn't get no Eastern official to get on the flight. And then another person was there, seen us in distress like, came and was trying even to call the people and to help us out, but it was to no avail. So afterwards we realized like the Lord have us here for a purpose. So well, because we all was going to come here and then the Lord, you know, brought us here, now we're going to leave. The Lord is like, he don't want us to go. So we saw that, so we drive around that all the night, we stay so long to get a car, finally we got a car, because all the places were done close up, and finally we get a hold of a rental car. And we decide to go and drive, look for a place now. Well, the same thing in Barbados now, where to go and stay, because we didn't want to go and stay anywhere. And mostly all these hotels, and we wanted a place like we had in Antigua, where we could rest and pray and be by ourselves, you know. So Eventually we drive on a little bit. It was getting late, coming to 12, so I told Brother Sanchez, I said, let's go to Brother Howell place. If you remember where the place was, let's find him and find what time his service. So tomorrow we won't be caught stuck in a hotel somewhere and can't go to service Sunday morning. So we decide to go, so we eventually found the place. When he went outside in the car, Brother William himself stayed in the car. He went outside and knocked on the door, you know. It was late, the house was done in darkness, the whole street almost. And finally Brother came out. When he came out, by the time he see Brother Sanchez, he said, Brother Sanchez, and you all the brothers from Trinidad, you know all this appointment. You give me the carry on in a certain atmosphere, and he was very annoyed, and you know, so I don't know if he felt he was going to stay by him or what was going to happen, you know. But apparently he was talking about some people in Trinidad, whoever he's in contact with, you know. So Brother Sanchez didn't bother him too much, and so he said, we only pass him through, we just come from Antigua, we just pass him through, so we want to come out to service, that's all. So we went, finally we got this place, nice little place, the Lord have us to get, just what we wanted again. So you say, the Lord is really leading, you know. So the morning we got up, but Willie still not seen, just blurry. So we pray with him, and he said he's going to stay at home and rest. So Brother Sanchez and myself jump in the car, and we went out to service. By the time we arrived, here comes the brother now. And he came out, and we're going to talk to him and say, brother, you say, no, I'm sorry about last night, and you know, but I guess he was appointed, and the brothers aren't trained out. They say one thing and do one thing else, and you know, and forgive him. And so afterwards, we sat down there in the place, you know, and then the brother wife came out, other sister came, and then had a couple of little children. And that was the church. So we sat down there, you know, service. Then some service start, and we're going to sing number 15. And we sing number 10 now. And then we sing number 8. Are we going to sing number 4? We sing number 3. And we go like this, you know. So finally, we got up, and then, not saying this in a discrediting way, I'm getting a testimony. I want to glorify God, tell you what happened. So while we were there, you know, but he stood up. You know, you don't know me well, really. I'm Brother Gordon, went in by him some years ago. 7-8 years ago, went in by his home one night, and I never met him after that, so he didn't really know me, so he knew Brother Sanchez, you know. So he got up and he says, all right, after the song service, just like that, out of the blue, he says, and I now turn the service over to Brother Sanchez. So Brother Sanchez, you know, he caught the, you know, in between, you know, what to do now, so he got up with his Bible, you know, and, you know, we get there. Kind of feel around for a few words to say, you know. Well, what's going to happen now, you know? So, all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit just strike and we'll testify and say, we're glad to be here and God has to pass through, and he just want to testify what God has done for him, how he's in darkness, and God brought him out, and you know, here, and God's servant is here, and he's going to turn this over to him now to preach the gospel this morning. And, you know? So, right away,
he's not testifying to me. I cannot testify, see? He's not telling me, let me tell my experience. All the years we in the message. And we only saying God's not a prophet. And we're coming along, and people say we're leaving church and we run from here to here, but it's not really that. We're moving on further with God. And your visitation has come. And if you all don't receive it now, you all don't miss it. So I find but those things hard and direct, you know. God did our work, you know. But he's anointed. And the brother only saying, yes, is it truth? Yes, yes. So I told the brother I could receive it, praise God, you know. And he testified away. And after we left with there, when he came back, we came back next day, I had some books to drop for the brother, which we had took with us, so we decided to drop it for him. And his wife said, you all make sure and come back quick. So what I just tell you that, to tell you that, here it is, we just leave to go for the rest. And God, I see what happened there? We up in Antigua in this place. And people sleeping and drowsing, and this woman pulled the pillar of fire down in Barbados. Because she's hungry and she wants to move on with God. Why they have this boy here tied up in some denominational program? Not realizing something is going on. See? And she's hungry. Look what happened in El Salvador. Look what happened in Honduras. You know, the two brothers ring up, never ring for 2 years. Ring up just by inspiration. Testify what happened. Look what happened in Barbados. Look what you're going to experience on the West this last time. Look, coming back here tonight and look at the party would open up here. What is taking place? With all hunger. As the brothers, they could tell you the inspiration in that place, like 500 people sitting down there. Yes! Like it's 500 people sitting down there, about 5 people pushing to. And the power of God in the place. And you can't think it's 5 people sitting down there. Because of a hungry heart. Somebody God knows receive it. I had the very same experience when the Holy Spirit told us on both of us. I told the brother, I said the hour is here when it is beyond being stirred and not being changed. A lot of people are being stirred but not being changed. But it's people who want to move on with God, who want a change in their life. Not just to be stirred and rejoice and a little blessing for a nice service. No! That is another spirit of lukewarm and formality. Group a lot of people and make them feel they're alright. Everything's alright until they get busted apart. Then they realize they had no foundation. They were living by the grace of God when they thought they were so settled and self-secure. You understand what I'm saying? And here the Holy Spirit, that man sat there with his prayer card in his hand right there. Had the chance to have the whole week right there. And his eyes were somewhere else. And this is sitting down in the congregation here saying, look, all those things. The feminine spirit in the mystical body and all that's been revealed and the matching piece of the promise and people sleeping. She pulled the pillow off our quiet on Barbados. Lock the door. Then we can't move. A dream God gave her days before. And when we walk, and here come, we come walking in. And begin to speak these things. And when she come out, when we left the place tonight, the brother was as sweet as an orange. It was so nice, the spirit and the atmosphere that just don't get through the world. Ask the brothers. I won't testify to show you. Here in the church, here we come back to preach these things. So these messages are not supposed to be educational, it's for warning. These messages is warning and utterances of the Holy Spirit shaking you to walk holy and walk right. Amen. The hour is here. Don't get the spirit perverted. Amen. Don't get the line tangled. Shun the appearance evil. It becomes the fruit of all righteousness. The message is urgent. Amen. These messages are for that kind of thing. These are the kind of messages that jump and have a nice little time and laugh. These are check yourself and see if you're in the faith. See what rattling inside of you and get to the altar and get fixed. It's about over. Amen. He had to pass that way. It needs be. He must go through there. We could have never come back on that flight. As much as we decide to make the decision ourselves to come on, God's will is stronger than our own decision. Amen. God block it. It just let you see. When we think maybe a little rest or something, we can get a rest yet. Every morning, 1-2 o'clock in the morning, I have to run from the birds. They love the word. They wanted fellowship, and it was a good time for them. God had them there to enjoy that blessing. And you, your own is now, and it's coming to you. Don't miss it. And if you are a stranger and don't understand half of what is going on, don't try to understand half. You search your heart and know if you're right with God. If you think you're ready to meet Him and get yourself right, because during this week His power is here to transform you. Amen. Moses can know more about God in 5 minutes than what he taught for 40 years. That's how I feel. I feel in these 5 days God is going to push all them dark clouds back and lift the ones who want to go up into a place. Amen. And give you a true understanding of what's really happening. You feel the pull outside in the world. Oh my, I tell you, it's strong now. Only the real Holy Ghost will take you through. It's well strong. Because why? The Holy Spirit is drawing back from outside here now. Immorality, all kind of sinful, everything is on display. Demon powers have taken over. It's on display. You're a son of God, live right.
Turn your face.
Amen.
No, it's poison fangs behind you.
Amen.
Recognize that is what destroyed the sons of God. Back in the time of Israel with Balaam, and back then in the days of Noah, I was never forgiven. I know that is what you have to overcome. You're a daughter of God, don't be deceived. Don't be perverted. Make sure it's put like Lot's wife. And make sure it's put like Sarah. Judge him who is faithful. Receive the word of God in this hour. Produce the promise in your life.
Amen.
Don't play around. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you. In this land, I'm watching something going to climax out the end of this year. With rapidity, many things is mounting, many things rising. And demon powers is quickly just taking over. You're seeing evil, people getting more evil. You're seeing that people are sincere and want to make it. They have sincere thoughts, but their life here in the soul, they're lusting after the world. They have sincere thoughts in the mind, but they have the life to carry out the thoughts and make it manifest.
Amen.
So all they have is they can talk things, yeah, no sir, no sir, no sir, no sir. Ever learning, but they can't come in knowledge to the truth. For the world to bring a conviction in the life to bring a separation from unbelief.
Amen.
They have some, they call it a web, something kind of pulling them, they're dangling, they find themselves wanting to be sucked into that big vacuum that is pulling them into itself soon. You will see how this hell have opened up her bowels and taken in there. You will see it. It's all happening. It's not going to happen down the road. It's already happening. It's going to be destroyed and finished down the road. But it's already happening now. If God is moving behind skin of these people now, then the same thing is happening there. It's just two spirits all along. One just perverting the truth. One just impersonating what God is doing. And at the time when God is manifesting flesh, Jesus Christ in bride form, is the same thing outside here. The devil is being tried. How come? He could never possess them. He might oppress them. He might torment them. He might afflict them. But not until that soul reject that word and they cross that line, then he could possess them and take them over. What it was, you're drinking, you're committing adultery, you're smoking, no. You're unbelief in the word. You disbelieve in the word. Being a hearer but not a doer. Knowing that it is right, not doing it, which make a work of iniquity. That is in the world. That is in the framework now. So let's just all stand to our feet tonight. I just feel that many hearts the Holy Spirit has spoken to tonight. To realize you weigh in the balances and you think you've been found wanting, shake yourself and pinch your conscience. If you're hearing the word and you find it having no effect upon you, get sincere and pray. Because that's a bad condition to be in. When you be hearing the truth and just running off of you like water on a duck back, it's a bad condition to be in. There should be a heart, hunger and thirst and lapping up every drop of that water that's coming inside of you. If you look out in the world and you know those things are being said is the truth and you've seen it, the evil on the outside and the pull that the world talk about being pulled and the web that many have been caught up into and the vacuum that's trying to suck you into itself and deform you. If you experience those things, then know God is warning you, identifying to you what is happening. Don't play around. It's not just thinking some bad thoughts. First you might think it's some thoughts the devil put in your mind. Next thing you find, you start to get a desire to want to carry those thoughts. Next thing you start to see a trickle of it being produced in your life. Next thing you see, you're indulging. Before you know it, you ride back down outside here. It creep up upon you. Come upon you unawares. Begin to eat you down. Suck out your life. When you was not thinking that these things was true and real and it's happening right now. The building devil tell you is a thought, a good thought and a bad thought. The building devil can tell you is you may be thinking that and no. The devils believe what the word say. The devils is loose to come against the bride. Those outside there in the carrier, the life already left that. Fallen angels in that. Those in the life, that's where the devil wants to get around to now. And the life is in the grain, the revealed word.
And even all those that are there, who is not part of that grain, who is not the life in that grain, would be deceived. The darkness would come upon them, make them a child of darkness. What it is? It's just the old nature with the unfruitful works. But remember, when that is coming forth in the wrong season, that's where the judgment comes. God didn't judge us for bringing forth them works back there. But when the word come, light is come now. And man choose darkness rather than light. And won't come to the light that the deeds might be reproved, where they are made manifest in Christ. And they hold on to the deeds, the desires of that old nature. All the ambition, the pride of life, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. It's important to be somebody. And don't have a desire to really obey it and see it manifested in you. And don't have the determination to fight every contrary thing until it becomes that in you. Some of the answers, well, if God do it, you do it. If God didn't do it, God didn't do it. Let me tell you something. Even though you are Jacob tonight, you are ordained to fight and overcome. It, Jacob is telling God, choose a chain, because a chain I can't do myself. You do that, the devil already deceive you. Because the way you ordained to do it is to overcome. And God put something to fight back with. Every son and daughter of God, God put that inside of them. The devil might push you around, trample you, step on you, spit on you, and might have you bummed for a long while. But before you completely destroy your son and daughter of God, something they will make you for to fight back. And you will really fight back. And let me tell you, one more book going to put you out of existence. If you're going to fight back, you better start to fight back now. If you're going to be sincere, you better be sincere now. If you recognize the presence of God, if you recognize the word of God, if you recognize the things that you're hearing, and what you already heard by a prophet that said these things are coming, and if the Holy Spirit identifies and shows everything that's happening, and you've seen the evidence of it round about and feeling the very pull, don't feel the pull and then don't recognize what's going on. Feel the pull and recognize what's going on too. Then you could be fortified. Then you could be alert. Then you could resist those things. If you think you just want to go along and don't check the word and check your experience and say, Lord, am I that way? Maybe I'm conscious of it, Lord. I don't think you'll be speaking so expressly. I don't think you'll be speaking so sternly. I don't think the word will come so straight, Lord. Just for show. And too long we think it's the other person God talking to. Too long we think maybe that's God and that's the, maybe that's the God talking to. And that's why the devil is making you lose your conviction by showing it's not you God talking to somebody else, by making you feel better than you really is, by telling you have no unconscious unbelief. The only way you can know is if God tells you. And if you're that way, don't ever be trapped in that no more. You might be trapped in that before, but if you come to a place, say, Lord, even me, search me deep down on the inside. I don't want to be like Peter, a good follower, and then reach that hour and then deny you. You see, well, Peter still came back. But look at the Judas. But he went just as far. Right where he betrayed him is where Peter denied him. You want to reach there to find out what you're going to do and then find if it's a Peter or Judas? How you will know until you don't hang yourself? You always had a quick reasoning. Cast it down. Cast down your imaginations and break into the reality and see what God is saying. Is judgment really upon the earth? Is death really striking? Is the last plague spiritual death? That's not the seven last plagues, you know. That is after rejecting the message. In every age, has a plague like that, spiritual death, after they reject the message. Are we seeing it creeping upon people? They're crossing the line, have an outward motion, a form of godliness, but denying the power? Am I that way? The word talking about the unveiling Jehovah masterpiece and the matching piece of the promises. I enjoy the revelation, but do I really see I am matching the promises? I rejoice in the high knowledge and the depth of it. I know clear it is, and I know it's right, and I associate with a group that believe it. But is it talking in me matching it? Is it bearing witness in me that is me and not the group that we in right?
Be sincere. Let it go deep down. Don't think about time tonight. Come to a place. Some of you can't even get conviction no more. You don't know where to cry no more. Take your conscience and be scared with a hot eye. And brother, I'm saying, sin away their grace. Hard borderline believers, you know. That's where they fall away is. Right to the promise. And then perish. Remember, the only thing will stay the wrath of God is the token. And remember, the token is Jesus Christ, the person in you. Not I ain't drink for 4 years now. Not since I ain't message, I ain't commit adultery yet. So my moral record kind of good. Are you matching the word?
Amen.
You walk tonight with God. You design your heart tonight with God. Your conviction about the word you've been hearing tonight while you stand here and see these things taking place. How does it strike you? And I tell you, an icy death already moving upon some in here. Taking them out, swift destruction. While some is like Christ. Some still lusting after the flesh. It shows that it's really individuals. Darkness upon some, light upon some. The old nature dead in some. The old nature still alive in some. But all sitting under the revealed word. All hearing the same message. But some could do it. Some could live it. But we all are challenged to live it. We all are required to live it. We all are called to live it. Look how hard it is to live right. How easy it is to sin. You know why? Because the pull of the demon power outside here. Because the old nature and the traits still within you. You have more of the old nature in you than the life of Christ in you. When that life of God is in you, then that law is still in your flesh. Can be kept in subjection. Out of that sanctified spirit, and that law is in your flesh, you'll be trying to walk two sides. You'll be trying to have good thoughts, to think right and live right here. But you'll find your soul pulling you back there in the world still. And those people on the outside displaying all those things. Don't remember that no nice person, no nice lady, no nice attractive young person. Remember that devils possess people who have rejected the word to deceive in the last days and take many to hell and make them spotted the garment of the flesh. You know what the Bible says in the book of Jude? That's where we at. You and me as individuals, we have to know that we have a holy mantis. Check your taste tonight. See what you desire in your soul, what you're drawing through. You're coming to church and you're hanging around here for a motive, an objective, or you're really coming because you believe the promise of the hour. God touched your life. God shook you to realization of the hour you're living in. The scriptures, the message all become real to you. And you recognize what the prophet was saying, what is happening to you. And you're running for your life. That is why you're here.
Amen.
Oh, some of you waiting around just trying to make a date. They're trying to get some little other interest. Some little other thing you have your eye on. Let me tell you, you'll perish with exactly what you want. What is not the word. You will have it. God will give Balaam the desire of his heart. Once you want it more than the word, God will give it to you. And you'll be blessed too. But which is more? Which is more to you? Look at the hour. We know how far up the road we are tonight. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Heavenly Father, it seems that you have brought us down to a face-to-face talk. To watch one another in our eyes. To look deeply upon the countenance of one another. To feel the vibrations of heart to heart. Oh God, as we begin this night of services,
not even begin to break in upon the subject tonight, and the night is already past. But Lord, I'm depending upon you to bring these things out to such a place that the reality would strike these people. Lord, cause them to move into that, into Goshen. How your prophecy better be under Goshen, under the blood, when all the plagues have been poured out, when demon power is moving upon the face of the earth. Oh God, to be sheltered under the blood, the only place of safety. We see in the Bible in the days of Noah, before the judgment struck, there was a safety place that you took him into. In the days of Moses, there was a place of judgment. When judgment was upon the land, there's a secret place, a safety zone that you move your people into. Not one of those plagues touched them. Lord God, we see that even the time of Elijah, in the famine and the drought, he entered the secret place and didn't fare hidden food. Just before the judgment moved upon the face of the earth. All for showing these last days, Father. We believe that we are in that secret place tonight. In Christ, in that revealed word. Where our lives are hidden with Christ, in God, sealed by the Holy Spirit. And as it goes forth tonight, the word of the living God, warning, crying unto the church, shaking the people, Lord. Many feeling the pull of the hour, knowing how late it is. Lord, I pray tonight that a real realization would strike. Men would wake up, trim the lamps. Oh God, they would hasten into that place. Lord, they would wrestle with all that's within them. Until they know their past and their life, until that change transformed. Help us tonight, Father. No doubt there are many out in the congregation, Lord, reaching out, crying out their hearts to you. You have spoken unto them. Your word have shed light upon their lives, upon the hour, upon the need and the requirement to be met. And they see, Lord, there's room to be closer drawn to you. Let a cry for nothing between my soul and my Savior. Lord, know a little bit of leaven that they hold up. Let it be a portion tonight, Father. Let it start with me, O God. Lord, let the seraphim pass again with a call of fire, Lord. We know the commission is at hand. A minister of the spoken word to go in judgment. Lord, while we sit here in your presence, and these dark shadows swiftly moving upon the face of the earth, and the cold winds of judgment blowing in, and by the revelation the church is lifted up in that sphere, we see, oh God, a cup full and running over. The people in insanity, perverted in the spirits, churches, people, individuals, and knoweth it not. They've gone to insanity. But Lord, the mind of Christ, he said it will be in the bride and she will know what you want done with the word. Oh God, this great secret, Father, all hell is against. May that be revealed in our hearts, Lord. That we can be built upon that rock. That when the storms come, shaking everything off, we will not be moved. Heavenly Father, may you grant tonight. As we go through the course of this week, we look unto you for continued leadership and direction. For the inspiration, Lord, to break through into such a place where the Spirit could speak so expressly. And Lord God, the word could have such a good effect upon our souls, upon our lives. We could be bound with chains of the word, chains of light. While we see many, oh God, being bound in chains of darkness reserved under judgment. Lord, bind us with chains of your word. Bind us with chains of thus saith the Lord.
Let us see more of Jesus in our lives. More of you, Lord. Something more than our yesterday. Oh God. We see the challenge rise. We feel a pull. Feel a demonic influence. With vacuum sucking and drawing many down the cataracts to a swift destruction. But Lord, may we anchor our soul in the haven of rest. May we sail the wild seas no more. May we find a hiding place tonight, Father. Speak to every heart. Save them that are savable. Let the light shine upon his souls and bring up that realization. Might be the last one tonight hanging around. May they be not caught up in unbelief and be deceived in the evils of this world that is designed to deceive this whole generation. But oh God, they'll be covered with the holy veil of your Holy Spirit. Until you come blind to the world and shut in that secret place. In your presence, Father. The eyes turn upon Jesus. That the things of the world will go strangely dim. In the light of your glory and grace. When thou shalt seek my face. Our soul proud, thy face, O Lord, will we seek. Oh God, we are waiting upon you. You speak unto our hearts, Lord. We are preeminent in our lives. We come to a place where we will be surrendered. We know we are surrendered. You approve that we are surrendered. Grant it, Father. We ask it tonight in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shed his blood, that he might redeem us, and that he might come and sanctify us and dwell in us and walk in us. And he'll be our God, and we shall be his people. Grant it tonight. For we ask it in thy precious name. Amen. Let's sing something more than my yesterday. Sing it one more time from our hearts.